Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, and it is August 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a Pennsylvania grand jury says its investigation of clergy sexual abuse identified more than 1,000 child victims. The grand jury report released Tuesday says the number comes from records in six Roman Catholic dioceses. The grand jury says it believes the real number of abused children might be in the thousands, since some records were lost and victims were afraid to come forward. The report says more than 300 clergy committed the abuse over a period of decades. Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro says the probe found a systematic cover-up by senior church officials in Pennsylvania and at the Vatican. Pennsylvania officials have released a landmark grand jury report that identifies more than 300 predator priests who molested children in six dioceses. It also accuses church leaders of taking steps to cover up the abuse. The report emerged from one of the nation's most exhaustive investigations of clergy sexual abuse. A suspected gunman has apologized after a shooting injured several people inside a Walmart in Cheltenham yesterday afternoon. Action News captured video of a man as he was being brought into the Cheltenham police station, and you can hear the suspect say, "I'm sorry, man. I thought somebody was going to kill me." Investigators said after a dispute occurred at the checkout line, the suspect pulled a gun from a female companion's waistband and opened fire. Dozens of people were inside the store at the Chesterbrook Plaza shopping center as the gunman opened fire about 6 o'clock yesterday. A Walmart employee was shot in the leg, and they were among at least five people who were injured. According to officials, three suffered gunshot wounds to the leg, one person with a graze wound to the leg, and a pregnant woman who fell while running from the scene. They were all taken to area hospitals. Investigators said after tossing the gun out of the car in the area of Stenton and Mount Pleasant, the 2001 Gold Pontiac the gunman was driving crashed into a police cruiser just blocks from the Walmart. The officer in the cruisers just happened to be in the area responding to an unrelated incident. So they were just in the area for something else.
That's
and
wild.
This guy crashes into them. Police said following his apprehension, the male suspect attempted to kick out the window of the police vehicle and was subsequently shocked by officers with a stun gun. He was transported to Einstein Medical Center.
There's a Walmart near me, and it's sprawling, and it's always packed. And I was, if shots were to ring out, I don't know where I would run. You know, where do you go? You know, there's just pandemonium has to ensue.
Sporting goods department. There's more guns back there.
Yeah.
I was thinking tents and sleeping bags that you could hide in.
You could hide in tents and sleeping bags?
Yeah, you could do that.
Quick.
Yeah,
quick. Open the tent
quick
box.
To the tent.
Set it up.
No, sometimes they have tents
set up. Yeah. You know, I was talking to...
I'm a mannequin.
Just stand next to one of the mannequins.
On a brightly colored long shirt.
Casey looks like he got his clothes from Walmart, so...
There you go, yeah.
I was
Hey! Wait a second. Hey, they don't sell awesome Delco t-shirts in Walmart.
I was talking to a community resource police officer the other day, and she does these like active shooter trainings.
Yes.
And she was saying when you walk into places like Walmart, Target, all of those stores, that you should take note to, you know,
what
just,
the mannequins look like.
No, not what the mannequins look like or where the tents are, but just when you walk in next time, look at it differently. And where would you go if something like this happened?
I sort of always do. Do you do that, Preston? Do you just kind of get just a general, like for a fire or something, if it's a big place? That's my mother. My mother was the most secure. She should have been in the FBI, for Christ's sake, being raised that way. So I have that sense of paranoia. Whenever I go into a place, I always sort of assess it.
No, the only time I do that is if I'm going to a hotel. I do make note of where the exits are, but that's it. I don't. If I'm just shopping casually, going about my day,
and
I'm going to make a 10-15 minute run into a store, I don't think twice about what might happen.
If there's an
shooter situation.
I back to the wall all the time, and I go along
the entire perimeter.
Two clicks up. Go.
But she said that, of course, most people are, you know, are like us. So you're not going to think about that when you walk into the store. But I just had this conversation with her. So I went in, last time I went to the store, I was thinking that. And then this happens yesterday.
Do you shop Serpentine now as a result?
I've been doing that since I was a kid. I swear, like, even at church, when I was at church.
You go running to the sleeping bags.
Now, if something were to happen here, this is exactly what I would do. And this is where I would go.
Right, that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
The two officers officers in the police car that were struck were taken to Roxborough Memorial Hospital with minor injuries. A 25-year-old woman was later arrested for her involvement in the shooting. Police say she was holding the gun when the shooter grabbed it from her. A total of 8 EMS agencies and 22 police departments, including the Philadelphia Police and the Montgomery County SWAT team, assisted with the incident. Walmart is reopening this morning, and they say the incident remains under investigation.
Do they open at 6 a.m.? Is that the usual time for them?
What, Walmart?
Yeah.
Oh, no, this happened at 6 p.m. last night.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. A New Jersey school superintendent who resigned after he was accused of repeatedly defecating on another high school's track receive more than $100,000 from his school district.
What?
Well, there's because of they put his name out in public,
right?
Correct?
So yeah. Kenilworth Public Schools will pay.
I thought it was, you know, a reward of some sort.
Dude, you saved us so much on fertilizer.
His school district for, you know, going after the rivals.
Team Spirit.
Give me 10 up high. Yeah.
100,000.
Way to go.
So the school district will pay Thomas Tremaglini's full salary until he officially resigns at the end of September, according to a separation agreement signed in July. He'll also get 2 months severance pay and more than $20,000 for unused vacation days. The district won't contest his unemployment application either. Police said staff members who had been monitoring surveillance video to see who was leaving human feces at the Homedale High School spotted him in April. He was charged with public defecation, lewdness, and littering. No motive has been disclosed.
I want to be charged with public defecation.
Yeah, I want to get $100,000.
It's very easy. In fact, we could get it done during the show today,
yeah,
if you'd like.
Yeah, I could do that, actually. Now, he did it on several occasions. Or he did it more than once, right?
He apparently used that track, right?
At least twice.
Yeah, he used the track. But, like, so they're not saying much about this, but, like, we talked about it. You know, if you're a runner and sometimes you just have to go. Like, that's not what they're saying.
I could see as a one-off, maybe. You got caught with,
agreed,
like, a day six.
Agreed.
Right?
Yes, agreed. Or you just, you know,
you don't have to, like,
I have to go right now, and I'm sorry, but I got to do this. But, you know.
That doesn't happen every single time you go running.
Preston, you have, like, a window, right? Like, of your morning constitutional, right? So it happens, usually happens between.
I used to have a very regular run at it, but I don't any longer, but I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And I would, so I would plan accordingly.
Yes, that's, you know, what most people do.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I have this window, right? So, all right, I've noticed that I've had to take a crap in my morning run for the last week or so. So maybe I'm going to push my morning run back a little bit.
Crap, or, and then go run.
Yes.
No, that's exactly the kind of tweaking a thoughtful person does.
Because we had that story of the lady doing it, and she was caught on, like, home security camera pooping in somebody's side yard.
Yeah, another runner.
And she was a runner.
Yeah. Same spot all the time.
And listen, my heart goes out to you.
It really doesn't for me. It's like,
what? To the guy crapping on the school's track?
No. For anybody that has to go at a certain point and they can't find a bathroom, and then they have to do the shameful try and find a place, and at least they're trying to, you know, duck behind a bush or something along those lines.
My heart goes out to the people who discover it
and
on
have
a daily
to clean
basis.
It up.
Yeah, yeah.
Tremaglini's attorney, Matthew Andrews, said his client plans to fight the allegations and his resignation should not be construed as an acknowledgement of guilt. Adams also said that Tremaglini's plan to sue Homedale police over the mugshot taken after his arrest, he argues.
From Touchstone Pictures.
Yeah.
Inspiring story of a man who fought the system.
Yeah.
Super pooper.
Super poopers.
He argues Tremaglini should not have been photographed at the police headquarters because his charges are low-level offenses. A janitor has since taped over the original footage that allegedly captured Tremaglini, according to Adams. He said during a court hearing Monday, that is akin to police using a hose to wash down a bloody murder scene before it is processed. Prosecutors said police saved the pertinent video footage. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Brock Holt hit a pinch-hit tie-breaking home run. Rick Porcello threw 7 strong innings in the Boston Red Sox. Beat the Phillies 2-1 last night at the ballpark. Sandy Leon also hit a home run for the Red Sox, who improved to 86-35. Porcello gave up 1 run and 2 hits, striking out 10 and tied Max Scherzer and Luis Severino for most wins in the majors. Rhys Hoskins homered, but the Phils wasted a solid outing from Nick Pivetta, who allowed 1 run and 3 hits in 6 innings. The quick 2-game series wraps up tonight. Nathan Evil... Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah,
why not? We'll pitch for the Boston, and Vince Velasquez gets the start for the Phillies. Game time is at 7 o'clock. Carson Wentz hasn't participated in 11-11 drills since July 28th, the third day of training camp, but that will probably change next week. According to a plan, Wentz expects to be back in 11-on-11s next week, a good sign as he continues to keep his goal of being ready to play in week one. However, he won't play in New England tomorrow night when the Birds play their second preseason game in a Super Bowl rematch against the Patriots. And did you see the billboard that was taken
yes.
out right outside?
Yep.
Kickoff tomorrow night is at 7:30, and those Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We have several things going on today. It's Wednesday morning. Welcome to it, dear friends. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day. We'll do that around 7:55 a.m. We also have something we need to solicit for because tomorrow morning our friends from Dunkin' Donuts are bringing back the Dunkin' Donuts cooling caravan. And this is a quick turnaround, but we're going to have a stretch of days back up into the 90s. And you know, with all this rain we've gotten, there's going to be it's going to be very oppressive with the humid conditions and so forth. So what we would like to do is start your day off in a cool and stimulating way by sending the Dunkin' Donuts cooling caravan to your job site if you work outdoors. We did this at the beginning of the summer, and now we'd like to do it now. So here's what we need. We need you to let us know about your work site, and you need to email the information to nick@wmmr.com. So if you're working construction, if you're doing road work, whatever it may be, outside hard work, we need to know the following information: the location of your work site and an estimated number of people that'll be on the job. That's pretty much it. But listen, make sure you okay this with the boss ahead of time.
That's critical.
And email nick@wmmr.com. But this is a quick turnaround. We're going to do it tomorrow morning. We'll probably pick just two or three places that we can go to, depending on the geography. But we can fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts. And they start at $2, by the way. America runs on Dunkin'. But this will be on us. This is absolutely free of charge. We'll send it to your location, and you guys will get a nice start to the day courtesy of Dunkin' Donuts and MMR. By the way, that $2 deal excludes cold brew plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. So if you are on your way to work, you want to check in with the boss, make sure you do that. First of all, say, hey, we can set up iced coffee to start off in a cool way the beginning of the day at the work job, at the workplace, in your job, and just let them know about it, and then send the email to nick@wmmr.com, the location, and about approximately the number of people that'll be on the job. And maybe we can come by and see it tomorrow morning. It's a pretty cool deal.
It's awesome.
Also on the program today, we have director Anthony Ferrante. He is not only the director, but the creator of the Sharknado franchise. And they have Sharknado 6, The Last Sharknado, what it's called. And in fact, the official title is The Last Sharknado, It's About Time. And it's on Sunday on Sci-Fi.
I am a fan of the series.
I know you are.
I am a big fan of the series. I'm also a fan of its sister series, the Lavalantula series, which is the large tarantulas that explode into lava.
Lavalantula.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. It's on this Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. Saturday, I should say.
I'm dying to talk to him about it. So no, it's this Sunday.
Oh, it is Sunday. Okay.
Sunday, August 19th is when that'll be on. So he'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. And not only that, we have a secret text word today, as we do on Wednesdays. We have a chance for you to get a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook.
Ah.
Friday, September 7th, he'll be
pay-per-view. Come on.
He'll be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. So text the word secret to 39333. We can start this right now. We'll bounce a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in, and our designated caller with that very special secret word will win the tickets. And we will also grab a random texter, so you may not even have to be around. And good luck to you on that. So text word secret to 39333. Word of the week prize this week. Also another great comedian, Sebastian Maniscalco, will have front row tickets for that and free parking. That show coming up Thursday, September 13th at the Wells Fargo Center. I have a load of other things. We'll do some bitch box invites this morning.
Yes.
People are getting excited about that. Is that a week from Thursday?
Next Thursday,
wow.
Yeah.
So a week from tomorrow, and we'll get you all the details in a little bit, but Kathy's got her boxes set up, ready to go, and we would love for you to win that.
And then we get our office back.
Yeah, then we will get our
offices
back.
Jammed with the bitch boxes.
Yeah. And tomorrow night, Miller Lite London calling with Green Legion. Casey is going to be out and about. I believe you're going to be at McFadden's in
McGurk's,
in Horsham.
Yes, and I'll be there from 7 to 9 tomorrow. There's going to be Miller Lite specials.
Wow.
Somebody tomorrow night will not only win tickets to a home Eagles game, but we'll also be in the running for the London calling trip. So please come out. You have to be there to win 7 to 9 tomorrow night. McGurk's in Horsham. What is that? Horsham Road in Horsham, PA.
But it will be October before you know it.
I know.
And we will be in London before you know it.
And then we come back the day before Halloween.
So don't miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
Go out and join Casey because it'll be gone. Yeah. And you will have missed out. And we don't want that to happen. We're going to take a break. We'll get back in a second. We'll go through the usual stupid question and entertainment stuff for you. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Velociraptor. All right, so we're going to do a stupid question. We're going to give away a one more time, please.
Velociraptor.
Okay. That was just bizarrely random.
I know. I've been on such a... Like,
Stepbrothers.
Every time you say Dane Cook now, there's that scene, Dane Cook, pay-per-view, 20 minutes, let's go. You remember
is that
movie?
From Step Brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no!
When she talks about wanting to be balled up and put in.
Yeah. Stay golden, pony boy.
Jesus,
Velociraptor.
All right, we're distracted, but it's all good.
All right, so we're going to do a stupid question pair ticket for the Pennsylvania Renaissance.
Velociraptor.
For the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair, I got this question courtesy of our listener, Harry Wood. Harry was one of our bald guys.
Yes, he was, yeah.
His head shaved. On the first season of Full House, John Stamos' character, Uncle Jesse.
John Stamos.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
John Stamos.
Let's just do the whole show like this.
Love you.
That was a total accident. John Stamos' character.
John Stamos.
Uncle Jesse. How do you say his last name?
Kasopolis.
I didn't watch Full House. But he had a different last name originally. What was that last name?
Velociraptor.
It wasn't Velociraptor.
On the show, he had two last names?
And it wasn't Good Housekeeping either. I do promise you that.
Good Housekeeping.
All right. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer.
Dane Cook, pay-per-view, 20 minutes. Let's go.
All right. What was his original last name? 215-263-WMMR. I have a bunch of birthdays today.
All right.
It is Wednesday, August 15th, and there's some biggies amongst these names, one of them being Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer is still in her 20s.
It's unbelievable.
She's incredibly successful.
She's taking a break, a little bit of a break, right?
Yeah. She's 28 years old. And it's funny to go back and watch her, and not just in her earlier roles, but when she first started to hit and they were interviewing her, you know, when she was nominated and she won
for
Silver Linings Playbook. And she was still this kind of girl next door. I can't believe this is happening to
right,
me.
Right, right, right.
She has now turned into the confident actress.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
I remember her on the red carpet. Was the movie Cold Mountain?
Winter's Bone.
That's because
she hit the scene like, you know, she hit the ground running.
Yeah. And so she was immediately getting all the accolades and all the applause. And so here she, that movie that she was in, it's not great, but Joy, that's the,
there was some of it.
It's not bad.
I like that.
It was an interesting story of a hardworking, you know, determined woman and knew what she was doing. You know?
I've yet to see the trippy one.
Mother.
Mother.
I haven't either. I don't know if maybe at some point I'll watch it, but.
She's got to work on her Eagles chant, but.
Yeah,
Other than that, she
did that incorrectly.
Did you see Red Sparrow?
On the plane, no.
I hear it's that. I mean, she's basically trained in the ways of sex and seduction, as well as being, you know, an assassin of sorts. Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty erotic.
I've seen her do that as Mystique.
Mystique as well. She's awesome.
And that's her next role, by the way. The X-Men Dark Phoenix comes out next year.
Okay,
and that's her next movie with what's her name is Dark Phoenix
Sansa Stark.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've forgotten the actress's name. Nicholas.
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner, thank you. Not John Stamos. Jennifer Lawrence is 28 today. It's also Ben Affleck's birthday today, Steve.
Yes.
Ben is 46 years old.
Did you watch Justice League? It was on cable last night.
Listen.
I watched it yesterday. Yeah. Again, or at least parts of it.
Yeah.
I've seen it all the way through enough times, but I'll just watch some of it.
Listen, is it Marvel level good? No, by no stretch of the imagination, but I love it. Can't help it.
Superman,
we enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. And I'm really digging Aquaman the more I see it.
He's great. Yeah. So that new movie's, I'm really psyched for the movie.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Affleck celebrates his 46th birthday today. It's also Joe Jonas's birthday. Joe is 29 years
That's
old
your
today.
Favorite
donor. That's okay. Kathy's favorite because she remember she you, those wine parties used to have. Where you watch the mm-hmm.
How do you guys remember
the Jonas Brothers series?
Your best live read ever, Kathy.
Yeah. Yes, I used to get wine with friends and we would sit down and we would watch.
There was only one live read I loved more, and that's Sun Rocket.
Well, yeah,
Nick McElwain accepted.
Yeah, you could only obviously go at night.
Joe Jonas is 29. Then you have the actress Pat Priest, who was Marilyn Munster, yeah, and she is 82 years old today.
She's the second Marilyn Munster. The first one did three quarters of the first season, I think.
They didn't like her?
Well, no, she didn't. She got homesick, believe it or not. She was separated from her boyfriend.
Oh.
So she went back home and gave up the Munsters, her and her boyfriend broke up.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So this whose birthday is it?
It's Pat Priest's birthday.
And we had her in studio,
we
right?
We did, yes.
Was it kind of by accident that we had her here? Because Eddie Munster was here at the same time?
No.
I don't remember what the genesis of that was. Remember.
She was in...
Was it one of those Monster Cons?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
it. Coming up this weekend, by the way.
Okay.
She was great. She was, and she dated Elvis briefly.
No way.
Yeah, she did.
Wow.
Who was the hotter, Marilyn?
Pat Priest.
Okay.
Yeah, she's 82 today. Stephen G. Breyer, U.S. Supreme Court Justice, is 80 years old.
Love his ice cream.
You know? It's
great. Who knew, man? You'd think he'd pick one, dude, but he's some people can multitask.
You guys remember Chris Judd? This was Jennifer Lopez's ex-husband.
I met him.
He's a dancer. Wow. You met him?
Yeah, so there was a stretch here at WMMR where there was not really a morning show. And the biggest guest that they could book one day was Chris Judd. And so we were doing a live broadcast for some reason at the Adams Mark. And that was the guy that we had on that morning. I was working for Pierre, but like they needed some support staff or whatever, and Chris Judd was there, and he would not talk about his marriage to Jennifer Lopez.
Get out of here, you loser!
It was post marriage to J Lo, and you're like, all right, well, what else are we going to talk to you about?
Exactly, it's the only reason we're talking to you in the first place.
Right.
He's 49. Then Deborah Messing of Will and Grace.
Your favorite, Nick?
Will and Grace. She is 50 years old today. So.
Second run of the series.
I watched some of the reboot.
Do you like it?
I did. You know what? I liked the original, and I didn't watch it when it was on. I watched it afterwards, and I really got into it. So when they did the reboot, I started watching it. I mean, not religiously, but I've watched some of it, and it's still good.
You know what the worst part of Will and Grace was? Will and Grace. If it was about the other two,
right? The other two were the best part.
Yeah, the
funnier part of the deal.
Great support staff.
Yeah. Have you seen the commercials for the... Murphy Brown reboot?
I've seen just a teaser real quick.
They do a faux 60 Minutes lead-in.
No, I haven't seen that.
With all the 60 Minutes, you know, cast members, for lack of a better word, the journalists.
Yeah.
And one of them ends up being Murphy Brown in the roster.
That's pretty cool. So Deborah Messing is 50 today, and the last birthday I saw is Natasha Henstridge.
Mm-hmm. Species.
The movie Species, and she is 44 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question today. We are asking on the first season of Full House, John Stamos's character, Uncle Jesse Katsopoulos.
John Stamos.
Had a different last name originally. What was that last name? 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to, let's try out Brian, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Yeah!
Oh my God. Yes. You serious? That's just from yesterday.
Doggy!
Brian, what's the last name we're speaking of?
Cochran!
You are correct, sir. Absolutely correct.
What did they do? Just change his name?
I guess they must have.
Why was he named after a sexual device?
I don't have all the. No, Cochran.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Brian, hang on, Brian. We're going to give you a pair of tickets for the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair.
It's supposed to be family television.
Yeah, seriously.
Join the revelry of the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair Saturdays and Sundays through October 28th. Experience fantasy at Turnpike Exit 266, and you can visit PARENFAIR.com for more information. I don't have the info on why they went from a sexual or, yeah.
I'm sorry, come again?
I have a few stories for you. A federal judge in Manhattan has given a lawsuit accusing Harvey Weinstein of sex trafficking, the green light.
Yes.
So sex trafficking. This is a different sort of charge against him. The suit was filed by Cadian Noble, an aspiring British actress who claims that he violated federal sex trafficking laws when he brought her to his hotel room in Cannes, promising roles in exchange for sex. Weinstein's legal, I guess he traveled with her.
The issue, right? That constitutes, I guess, by trafficking. The law, trafficking.
Weinstein's legal team argued that allowing the suit to move forward would, quote, unfairly expand the federal sex trafficking statute to all sexual activity occurring between adults in which one party holds a superior position of power and influence.
I wonder, currently, how many charges is he facing that are currently in motion and ones that are pending?
Yeah, he has, Steve, I want to say it's like seven in New York alone or something along those lines.
And Scotland Yard.
Yeah, I don't know about the official charges filed.
Huh.
So this is a lawsuit. Noble claims that in 2014, he'd invited her to his room at Le Majestic Hotel to discuss her film reel, but instead assaulted her. While the judge allowed the suit against Weinstein to proceed, he nixed his brother Robert from the suit as a defendant. So that's yet another one to add to the list. Well, after four trips down the aisle, Melanie Griffith is hanging up her veil. The working girl icon sat down with In Style, and inevitably her high-profile romances with Don Johnson, Stephen Bauer, and Antonio Banderas came up.
I like being single.
She said, yeah, she does have those lips. She said, I really don't think it's relevant for anyone anymore, but especially if you're 60 and you have four kids and you're living the life you've always wanted, she said, then why get married? It's like I would fall in love and have a romantic relationship, but I haven't. I keep looking, and I've had a couple of lovers, but not a relationship. She says she's open, but not looking. She said, after getting divorced and, in a way, finishing up with my kids, my Stella is now 21. I have the time and the chance to reboot and revitalize my career, I guess I would say. You think she can reboot and revitalize her career?
Possibly. We're looking at a picture of, is this her,
yeah,
A?
That is.
And B, she must have dismantled some of the
lip
stuff and plastic surgery because she actually looks pretty good.
Yeah. I remember, like, Nicole Kidman started looking weird for a little
bit. And then she corrected it.
She corrected it.
You know, I think what you do is just stop messing with this stuff and let your natural aging process take place. And Melanie Griffith is always an attractive woman.
Almost definitely.
She showed up in The Disaster Artist, the James Franco movie.
That's right.
It was a pretty small role, and I had to do a double take, but she was good in it. And it was interesting to see her not play a typical Melanie Griffith role.
Did you see that movie yet, Preston?
No.
You got to see it. You'll love it.
So Griffith also acknowledged that while her relationships with her exes are over, they were wonderful. Speaking of Don Johnson, with whom she shares her daughter Dakota and loved enough to marry and, yes, also divorced twice, she said, we imprinted on each other.
Of course they did.
It was sort of a natural karmic thing for us to get back together and to have Dakota. She was meant to come into the world, if you think about it. She said she loves all her exes. She said that we are all very close. But she doesn't want to get married again, and that's understandable. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Kim Richards. I go to her because she actually had a film career for a while.
Yeah, she was in Meatballs too, right?
She was in Meatballs too.
Escape from Witch Mountain. And she was also on Nanny and the Professor.
And a movie called Tough Turf with James Spader.
I love that movie.
She's been ordered to pay $266,000 in a legal dispute involving her pit bull. And this comes just months after reaching a settlement on another suit over the same dog. A woman named Kelly Crossley filed the suit against Richards in 2015. Crossley claimed that Richards' dog, Kingsley, viciously bit her, leaving bodily injuries along with mental pain and suffering. Richards never responded to the suit or showed up in court.
Oh, wow. You can't do that.
Yeah, and on August 7th, the judge granted a default judgment of $266,092.39, along with costs in the amount of $865. She was previously sued by former assistant Paige Sanderson, who says that Kingsley bit her in 2016. They reached an undisclosed settlement in April, and Richards adopted Kingsley in 2013. In 2014, he attacked her niece, Alexia, and the incident was covered on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 5. Amansky, now 22, required reconstructive surgery and physical therapy from that. So that sounds like
it's a problem dog.
Bit of an issue. I want to play a clip. We had this yesterday. I didn't get a chance to get to it. But Chris Hardwick.
Yes.
Got a little emotional. And he was talking about returning to Talking Dead. And do you know what show this was on, Steve? Or
I think this was it just part of the... Of a taping of an episode, but Preston, I'm not exactly clear on it appears to be on the set of Talking Dead.
Well, because he do Talking Dead after Fear the Walking Dead? Or
he does both.
Okay.
Yeah, or was doing
because
both.
Fear the Walking Dead has come back. So,
yeah. All right. You know what? It might have been that case. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so this is him talking about returning. Here we go.
Hi. You know, normally I recap the show we're about to talk about here, but instead... I really just want to take a minute, and I want to say that I am so appreciative to be standing here right now. And I want to thank you, the Walking Dead community, for all of your support these last couple of months. You know, the show is not just a job to me. This is a vital part of my life, you know, and this has been a sanctuary. These last 7 years we've been here. This has been with me through good times and bad times, and I have so much gratitude to you, the fans, and the producers, and the amazing cast of both of these shows, you know, for allowing me to come here and be a part of this community every week. This is what this is. This is a community. And, you know, we're on the precipice of a lot of changes on both Walking Dead shows in the coming weeks and months. And I'm so looking forward to going on that journey with you.
And what is it back on right now? Or I don't know. I don't watch
The Walking Dead premieres.
A little while. Yeah.
Few weeks.
Yeah. Fear the Walking Dead is just started again last week.
Okay. So he's back on Talking Dead.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead. Walking and talking.
Yeah. Walking and talking. I've just, all my experience of Walking Dead has pretty much just been on demand, so I don't follow it up with the Talking Dead immediately afterwards. I probably would if I watched it live.
I would say that initially it was critical in making that show stratospheric because it was a big, you know, people just hung on and watched and got to know the cast members, and it became, you know, another level of pop culture fandom.
Well, because every single episode ends with some sort of a cliffhanger.
Yeah,
It was like when we used to talk about Lost.
It's exactly
the same thing. We were talking about the day after and have an in-depth half-hour conversation about it.
I think they were doing something with Better Call Saul as well, weren't they?
Well, they did. No, Breaking Bad. Did they do Talking Bad? I don't remember.
I don't know. But anyhow, that's his statement. Moving on to some other stories. Chances are there's at least one blog or social media post gathering dust on the interwebs that would humiliate people today that they've written if some of it's dragged up. And that scenario just happened to Meghan Markle. But it's nothing bad.
No.
It's kind of interesting. People dug up a post from her now defunct lifestyle blog, which was called The Tig, in which she... Tig Old Biddies. She mused about princesses, unaware that 4 years later she would be one in real life.
She basically said she wanted to be a princess, right?
Yeah, she said, little girl's dream of being princesses. I, for one, was all about She-Ra, Princess of Power. She wrote, introducing an interview that she had conducted with Princess Alia al-Sanusi, admitting that she had, quote, a bit of a pinch myself, I'm emailing with a princess moment before her talk with the exiled Libyan royal and humanitarian in 2014. Meghan even references her future sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, in the blog, and her wedding to Prince William. She had written, grown women seem to retain this childhood fantasy. Just look at the pomp and circumstance surrounding the royal wedding and endless conversations about Princess Kate. And now look at her.
There you go. It's a good thing she didn't slip. What a whore.
Yeah, right?
She launched the Tig in 2014 when she was starring in Suits, and she closed the site in April 2017. And 7 months later, she became engaged to marry Prince Harry. Lindsay Lohan took to social media and shared an image of Ariel and Ursula from Disney's Little Mermaid with the words, my dream role with Meryl Streep emblazoned above them. She also included she also included the image in her Instagram story. Fans have been responding across social media with both excitement and words of affirmation, while critics have suggested that the 32-year-old is a little too old to play
just
Ariel.
A bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Previously.
What do you think? My collection is complete. I want more.
Police.
My brother said they got on the ground. Where did they get the... I forgot the words.
Previously, Streep and Lindsay starred together in 2006's A Prairie Home Companion.
Wish I could eat more chicken fingers.
Streep told W Magazine about Lohan at the time that Lindsay is, quote, completely, visibly living in front of the camera, and that she reminded the Oscar winner of Cher as a young performer. Streep would
say, "Wouldn't you think my collection's complete?"
Streep would make a great old Ursula, but Lindsay's reputation suggests she might be a bit tougher to manage on set than Streep's characterization implies.
I think they're, you know, it's just wishful thinking. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Lindsay recently, who's a spokeswoman for lawyer.com,
yeah,
has been getting slammed for her comments about the Me Too movement. Sony, we were talking about reboots earlier.
Yes.
Sony is reportedly developing a reboot of the classic 90s sitcom Designing Women.
Oh, jeez.
With the series' original creator, Linda Bloodworth Thomason.
There is a case to be made that Hollywood has run out
seriously.
Of ideas.
Yeah, I mean, two major characters are dead, are they not? Burke is dead, and then...
Delta Burke is alive.
No, yeah. I killed
Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter's dead. Yeah.
And the guy, was his name Meshach Taylor?
Meshach Taylor.
Yeah. They died. She died in 2010. He died in 2014.
These were all shows that I got into like later on. I guess they must have been on the same channel. Will and Grace, Murphy Brown, all of them.
They were fun. They were well written shows.
They were. Well, you know? What does it say? Are they working because of a sense of nostalgia?
I think it's definitely it. The project is expected to be taken out of the marketplace soon. The news comes roughly 1 month before CBS is set to launch a revival of Designing Women's former time slot companion, which was Murphy Brown.
Yeah. Is it wild?
Companions, yeah.
So you know, somebody who had traveled away into space and returned to Earth now might think that there's been a time stood still.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Was it the guy who was the painter? Was he in Designing Women?
It was Murphy Brown.
That dude's dead,
he
right?
He died, yes.
He's in Dances with Wolves as well.
Correct. I think he overdosed.
Did he?
If I recall, yeah.
Wow.
So he
played the painter in Dances with Wolves.
Designing Women debuted on September 29, 1986, ran for 7 seasons, concluded in 1993. It was Dixie Carter, Delta Burke, Annie Potts, and Jean Smart, who were the original stars. And the cast changed in the last couple of years because Jan Hooks ended up on the program.
Yeah, yeah.
A few people left here and there. But they're talking about doing it, so we'll see if that ends up happening.
Every show was basically the same. At one point, Dixie Carter would turn to whoever was the adjutant. Let me tell you something.
That's right.
Woo!
Strong woman. Woo, doggy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would be.
Woo, doggy!
The painter's name was Robert Pastorelli.
That's it.
Do you remember he was in that Bruce Willis movie in Pittsburgh?
Paintard.
No.
He was Strike Force.
What was it?
Striking Distance.
Striking Distance.
Striking Distance. Yeah, he was a cop on the river.
Yeah.
And
Sarah Jessica Parker
was in it. That was a pretty good movie.
It actually is not bad.
Yeah.
Was she the police horse?
She's the police horse.
Yeah, he was a Mountie.
That's mean.
Actually, there's a really cool scene where they're on the river and the boat jumps off the falls.
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. There's a lot of rivers there.
Yeah. Three of them, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So two of them.
Yes, two of them.
No, she's got a lazy eye.
Yeah,
two of them. All right. Anyhow, that's from
Central
Intelligence. Okay. Central Intelligence. Moving on. So, a Smallville alum and accused sex ring leader Allison Mack is asking a judge for leniency on her bail conditions. She's currently subjected to GPS monitored detention at her parents' home in Los Alamitos. While she is allowed to travel locally to meet with lawyers and head to Brooklyn for court appearances, she is asking Brooklyn Federal Court Judge Nicholas Garufas for permission to go to work, school, and church. She goes to church? She owns a church?
Yeah. Doesn't that seem kind of weird?
Yeah, because her cult thing was kind of
her church.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyhow, she's out on $5 million bail after her April arrest for sex trafficking, conspiracy to commit sex trafficking, and attempted human trafficking. The judge has not yet ruled on this particular motion.
Wait until this thing starts to play out fully in court.
Oh, man.
I can't, you know, this is a story that is just rich with all sorts of lunacy. And this sort of all-American girl next door, Allison Mack, was one of the
ringleaders.
The ringleaders, yeah.
Hey, Kylie Jenner and Travis Scott recently took a trip to the jewelry store.
Oh!
Sparking engagement rumors.
Show me all your best Argentium.
By the way, this last week we had a family, my best friend's family came and stayed at our house, and his wife likes to watch E, and I didn't know. I've never watched any Kardashians.
Did you end up watching a lot of
I watched a little bit of it because she was watching it.
And? Okay.
It's a soap opera.
It's as horrible as
trash.
I had always anticipated
but
that,
she loves it?
That it was. Oh, she just was watching whatever was on, you know, and it was on, and I'm like, why are we watching this? But, oh, my God. All right, so anyhow, so the parents of Baby Stormy hit Palachek's Jewelers in Calabasas following her 21st birthday party over the weekend. Travis, by the way, gifted her with a Rolls Royce for her birthday, in case you did not know that.
God, the hell does, all right, I don't know his music, so I
don't. Yeah, I don't either. I do not know.
Standard stuff. I mean, you remember, wasn't it Tyga that got her a Lamborghini or something like that? I mean, this
is,
at a certain point.
I think they're using her money to get it.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, you know it's like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
I want to buy you a birthday present. Can I have
$20?
$20.
Yeah, exactly.
Or half a million to buy a Rolls.
Did you see, speaking of Rolls Royce, not to go too far off the rails here, did you see the Rolls Royce SUV?
No.
Oh, my God.
Too ridiculous?
It's ridiculous.
Gotta be. Hey, we're giving away some Dane Cook tickets for the secret text word. Dane, who is 46 years old, is dating a girl named Kelsey Taylor. She's 19.
Oh,
yes.
My.
Yeah.
She's 19.
And there are some pictures where they're together.
Does it look like dad is
It looks like dad.
Well, yesterday, intern Nick, his dad turned 46 years old. How old is Nick? 21, 20, or 23?
No, he's on the older end.
Is he on the older end?
He's
40.
So, no, he's like 26.
But it's like, it's father-daughter.
Yeah,
what it kind of looks like, right?
Just go a little bit older.
A little bit older. Like old enough to drink, maybe.
Yeah, like old enough to take her out for a glass of wine.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't think he drinks.
It doesn't matter.
She doesn't wants wine.
No, guys. He doesn't drink.
Oh, so guys, it's okay.
Guys, he's not going to marry this girl.
No.
But he's just banging her. I know.
You just see on a basic level when they're out, do you want, or maybe some guys would say, and I've heard guys say it, guys are just envious. I got that. But you can't help but know that when you're out and about, and I saw this happens to be a nice picture we have up here. There's a nice little sunset behind them and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But there are some shots where they're coming out of the Starbucks and wherever the hell they are. And it really looks like, you know, daddy's little girl.
Listen, you look ridiculous and we're all looking at you.
That's basically the admonishment. Yeah.
All right, but he's noticed that his fans have some questions. In Instagram stories, he joked, the only thing you have to do is plan that your deaths will be somewhat far apart. So how did they meet? He said, we met at a game night that I host.
KinderCare.
We met at a game night that I host at my place. He said, we were friends for a while.
Shoots and ladders.
Potato sack races.
Candyland.
Show and tell.
Yeah. Game of life.
Simon Says.
No, he said, we were friends for a while and soon after fell in like with each other. And
ring then, around the rosy.
And then upgraded to love. He adds that.
Love.
She is smart, kind, creative, loyal, and honest.
Mm-hmm. And she's 19.
They first went public with their romance in February, so it's been going on for a little while here. But 19 years old and he's 46. Wow.
Now, legally, can she ride up front with him when they go out?
Just a way enough.
What's the weight limit? Is it
have to be in the back seat?
God, that's funny.
Oh, man, he's all Botoxed out, too. We can.
We're looking at a picture of him, maybe. Well, he's got to look young.
Spocking.
Well, they showed him actually, there was a picture of him with her and her contemporaries, her friends, her male friends. Man. And it really looked like he was running some sort of youth camp.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, anyhow, we'll have tickets for his show coming up at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino to give away on Friday, September 7th. Text word secret to 39333. Yes, Casey.
I'm just going to say this. I was at my brother's house on Sunday because my niece is going to college. And so I was in the basement with my niece and her friends. So it was me and four 18-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Right? So it was essentially Dane Cook and his girlfriend. We had nothing. If they weren't playing Mario Kart, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. I mean, we had, like, zero in common.
But that's the way... Yes. I mean, I'm pretty good with a lot of pop culture stuff. But at a certain point, you shouldn't have a lot to talk to.
Right.
You know, it's two different realms.
Yep. Hey, after her high-profile exit from CBS's NCIS, Pauly Perrette is spending her days watching Family Feud. And she took to Twitter to vent about it. She wrote, "Dear Family Feud, I love Steve Harvey and I love game shows. Why do you make your program so filthy, even with child players? No reason." She said, "I am a..."
Show us balls.
She said, I am a sociologist. I love Family Feud. But why? Why are all the questions now filthy and sex questions?
We're going to go with balls.
There's so much more to humans. Come on. Several agreed with her, adding that they noticed a change when Steve Harvey took over in 2010. Still, Harvey has some viewers pleased. He's one of the few hosts to actually increase ratings year over year. So it's doing well and people enjoy it.
I mean, Richard
and
Dawson.
And it's a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff, by the way.
Al Roker was the host for a little bit, right?
Yeah. Who was Richard Dawson the first?
Richard Dawson was the first, then it was Louis Anderson.
Do you watch the reruns of Richard Dawson on that show?
Nick, he's raping the contestants.
He is raping the contestants. Yeah. He doesn't even ask if he's allowed to kiss the ladies. He just comes right over and does it.
Yeah. There was a guy after him as well, Steve. Remember, he ended up hanging himself?
Ray Combs.
Right. And he did hang himself. Yeah.
All right, I have a couple more quick things. The trailer for What Men Want, starring Taraji P. Henson, dropped.
I just watched this last night.
Yesterday. Well, it just came out yesterday. Yeah. Adam Shankman is remaking Nancy Meyers' 2000 romantic comedy What Women Want, with Henson sliding into the Mel Gibson role. And she plays Allie Davis, a sports agent who got passed over for a promotion and can't see why until she gains the ability to hear men's thoughts. Paramount releases What Men Want to theaters January 11th, 2019.
The first one was fun because all of those things that weren't spoken about. Gibson was using that insight to get with these women.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And that was part of the deal. There's less of that energy in this.
This will be more about getting ahead in her career, maybe?
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
She's great.
I got a little crush on her. And then the last story I have is Hulu is deepening its relationship with Kerry Washington, who is set to star in Little Fires Everywhere for the streamer. Now, the Scandal alum will star in and executive produce Old City Blues, which is a take on the Boom Studios graphic novel of the same name. Gore Verbinski.
Yes.
Will direct this.
He directed the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
The 2011 story is set in the ruins of Greece in 2048 with a cast of high-tech criminals, corrupt politicos, and drug dealers.
He also, I believe, directed The Ring.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got some chops.
All right. Let's get to the clips then. Burden of Truth follows a hotshot lawyer who returns home from what looks like a cut-and-dry case. But not everything is as it seems. Show star and producer Kristen Kruick talks about her feelings towards producing. Here we go.
It was an amazing experience. I really wanted to transition myself outside of just acting and be able to tell the stories that I'm most moved by. And this was one of those stories.
I don't give a f***.
new episode of Burden of Truth is on tonight at 8 o'clock on the CW. Let's do the next clip. Suits is a standard law show, except the main character is a fake lawyer. Show star Gabriel Macht talks about how he feels about playing a character who constantly lies about his profession. Here we go.
Aaron is ready to bring this house of cards down. Aaron likes to put himself in a corner, and I think that gives us a lot of challenges.
I don't give a f***.
Suits is on tonight at 9 on USA, by the way. There you go, it's it, gang. Hope you enjoyed.
It was good.
I did.
We have stuff to get to. I had mentioned we have the secret text word and tickets to see Dane Cook. So text word secret to 39333. We have a few other things going on. In fact, I have a chance for you to join Marissa for Sunday Fun Day. It's a lunch cruise on the Spirit of Philadelphia on the 26th, so it's a week from this Sunday at 1 p.m. How would you like to go to this?
I love the Spirit.
We'll take caller number 20 at 215-263-WMMR. They have a tasty menu, Bloody Marys and mimosas, and it's at the new outdoor bar, plus scenic views from the river, games, prizes, and more. For tickets and information, you can visit spiritcruises.com. That's a week from Sunday, Marissa, and we'll take the 20th caller at 215-263-WMMR. Let's take a quick break, come back in just a second. We got a lot to talk about this morning, going live on Fox Good Day. Guests and more, I'll tell you about that in a bit. We'll be back in a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
I want to do a quick butt plug, if you guys don't mind. Charity event coming up. I got information. And this is Steve and Teddy Yoder, who had a son named Carson earlier this year, May 25th. But he needed to be taken to CHOP, Children's Hospital, and has been there for 9 weeks. He has what's called Pearson syndrome, and it's a bit complicated. It's a pancreatic insufficiency and some other things, and can be fatal in infancy. And if it's not, it can impair heart, kidneys, eyes, ears, brain, have all kinds of trouble. So they have a fundraising event coming up because obviously the monetary issues are through the roof.
Yeah.
And it will be at Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, and it is this Friday. So that'll be from 6 to 10 p.m. They're going to have dinner, drinks, and dancing, and raise funds through various raffles from generous donors, and that is for the family. So,
is it a dinner or a golf outing as well?
No, it's just it says dinner, drinks, okay. Dancing, and it's not, but it's at the country club. It's at Tallamore.
All right.
So if you would like to go, please get in touch with them. It says here. To make arrangements or to help answer questions, you can contact Amber at 215-237-5675. So I'll give this information to Nick, and we'll put that up on our community page. So that is a butt plug for that event, and hopefully you can attend and help out. So I wanted to pass that word along. So listen, I think I mentioned this last year, but I don't know if you guys have noticed, but there has been a substantial uptick, at least in my area, of these things. I think they're called lantern bugs.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Is that the black and red bug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last year, I saw a few of them. They're all over the damn place this year.
When you brought it up last year, this was right after I was at a friend's house who lives pretty close to you, Preston. He's in North Wales.
Yeah.
And he saw one on the side of his house. I guess they're kind of like stink bugs in that they're not that mobile. They don't move very fast or whatever.
No, they're real fast.
All right. Well, then, but he was told by whomever, kill it immediately, and then save it. Yeah, you're supposed to give it to, like, the...
What, you mean like bring it back to life?
No.
Don't let the bastard
come on! Come on!
That little miniature paddles that you're putting on his chest.
I think, like, the Department of Environmental Protection or something like that is supposed to get samples of these bugs.
All right, well, I remember... Yeah. Well, I've got tons of samples.
Okay.
The hard thing is killing these things, you know, they look like they might be slow and lethargic, but the minute you go to, you like, smack them, boom, they are gone.
So this picture you sent over a picture, Preston.
They're actually really pretty. They have this gorgeous red color.
The red,
is this what we're looking at here?
No. I think with its wings spread out, it might look like that.
Because this isn't what you sent.
Yeah, I sent you a picture of it. When they fly, that red is very very apparent. And I was on the phone with you guys the other night, and I was walking up. I was in the parking lot of a giant grocery store, and I was talking to you guys, and I said, yeah, they're invasive. They're from another country. They're all over the place. And a woman who didn't even know me just points the ground. She goes, there's one right there. And I go, oh, yeah, there's one. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. They're all over the place. And I think that they're bad for trees. Is that what the deal is?
Yeah.
And I've noticed a couple of trees in my yard that are looking a tad bit peaked.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
bastards.
But last year I saw maybe a couple of them. They're covering the back of my house.
And they're like kind of new to the area, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think last year was the first I heard of them. And so Have you guys been seeing him around where you are?
No, I have not.
I wonder if they're more Montgomery County or...
It could be. Yeah. It absolutely could be. I mean, you live in a more... I mean, I'm in Mount Airy, which is less... I mean, there are trees, but it's not, you know...
Yeah, I'm a little more in the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not these bugs, but just the other day, on Monday night, I was in the Target shopping center, and there was, like... It was covered with these, like, what looked like sort of like a brownish red flying ant. And I was swatting them away from my face as I was walking into the store. And they're doing construction there. So I thought maybe it had something to do with the construction. Well, then as I was driving home, they were basically pelting off of my windshield.
What?
Yeah. Like through Conshohocken.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. But it was, you know, how I am, of course, with insects and all this lovely stuff. But I was so disgusted by it. There were so many of them. And once I noticed that they were crashing into my windshield, I stopped and looked, and it was like an influx of them. They were flying all over the sky.
Okay. I haven't seen those yet. You sent me a picture of it. Yeah. They're scary looking.
Okay, so it looks like a wasp.
It looks
almost.
Looks like I think it's a flying ant, like a larger flying ant.
Okay,
is what it looks like.
You know what? I feel bad killing bugs, which is unless they're inside my house and then they're dead meat and that's all there is to it. But outside in nature, I'm like, I don't really want to kill them.
Yeah,
that's where they live.
That's where they live.
I got it. Yeah. And inside too, I'll try to I'll try to capture them and let them out.
Yeah, I do
let
the same thing.
And do
except
that
for flies. I hate flies.
Yeah, flies can be annoying. Open up and let them out. But I agree with you 100%. It's annoying.
Although while we were on break, I went into our shed and opened the door and. I walk in and there were about 20 wasps flying around in the shed. I'm like, whoa.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
And so fortunately I have right there the wasp spray, which by the way, can shoot like 25 feet.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, it's like bear repellent.
Yeah, totally.
It goes out. It's basically, it's like, it's like Peter North. Yeah.
Have you seen the salt gun?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, the salt guns are cool, but I like the Peter North reference. But as I was fighting, I had my aerial assault going on. One of them got me. One of them bastards stung me on the back.
Oh,
dude,
really?
I haven't been stung by a wasp since I was a kid. Holy God!
Total 6 year old.
Oh my God! I started. It was on my back, so I immediately started slamming my back against the shed. No.
Because I'm going to take you with me, you bastard.
Yeah, it freaking hurt.
Is it worse than a bee sting?
I thought it was worse than a bee sting.
All right, so here's where the disinformation begins, the incorrect information.
All right.
Do wasps, in fact, can they also bite you?
I don't think so. I know they can sting you multiple times.
Okay.
Because they don't have a barb on their stinger. Yeah.
Oh, so they can sting where a bee just stings you once?
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And it pulls out of them and it can hang onto that little venom sac and then they die. But,
When I was a kid, when you got stung by a bee, you would put meat tenderizer on it. Did you guys?
Yeah, my mom did that.
Yeah.
And raisins.
My grandmother, who was like, you know, in the Kentucky Hills, I got stung by a bee sting one time. She took some tobacco, chewed it up a little bit, stuck it on my bee sting.
And
really? And it was supposed to draw out the venom. But I mean, that's a backwoods.
And I bet you it works.
I guess so. I don't remember.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been stung by a bee, probably over 20 years. But I remember as a kid, it would itch so bad. Like, you know, if you got stung
bee stings?
Yes. I would wait because
have you ever been tested for allergic reactions to
such
things?
No. Okay. But it was like, you know, I always got stung on my feet, right? Because I would step on it or whatever. And that night when I was trying to sleep, it would itch like, you know, 10 times worse than a mosquito bite would.
All right, Preston. So these bugs, these lantern bugs, they actually create a sugary secretion and it attracts wasps.
Just like Peter North.
He's got
it attracts wasps?
Yeah, wasps, hornets, bees, and ants. So maybe that's why you have those.
And I know they're invasive. Are they able to spray for them or anything like that? Do we know? Well, listen, I got people calling in.
All right, let's find out.
I have an arborist on the line. We have Chris, who is in
space.
An arborist who is just back from his time in the International Space Station. No, this is a tree guy.
Okay, all right.
Hey, Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So what can you tell us about these, they're spotted lantern bugs? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, the spotted lantern fly is an invasive insect that was brought in on shipping pallets from China.
Okay.
About 3 years ago. It was discovered in the Ole Valley in Berks County. It has a host tree, the Ailanthus, or Tree of Heaven, but it has alternate hosts, which is what we're experiencing in the suburbs. The Department of Ag started a battle trying to eradicate it when they first discovered it, because the risk is to the viticulture industry, the fruit industry.
Okay.
And it has the potential to be devastating financially to all these industries. If you think about Pennsylvania, is a big apple state. I mean, a lot of apple orchards. There's also the winemaking industry. And the lumber industry. Some of the alternate hosts are maple trees. And like Kathy had just said, so the insect has a proboscis. It pierces the branch, sucks out the sap, poops out the sap. It drips down, and then that creates...
I'm getting turned on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that creates what?
That creates a condition called black sooty mold. So if you have a tree over your patio, all that secretion gets on all over your patio furniture, uh-huh. and then everything turns black. It's super awesome.
Huh.
God almighty.
Hey, Chris, I do have a question because I'd noticed there are a couple of arborvitaes. Would they attack that at all, or would they be?
No.
Okay, all right, then no. I'm having another issue with that. I thought maybe it was because these lantern bugs.
And Chris, are you still supposed to turn them in if you find them?
No. It's,
just kill them?
Like, Preston, you and I, we both live in the quarantine zone. I don't think it's made it out of the state of Pennsylvania yet. There are chemical treatments that can be applied to your trees if people wanted to consult with an arborist or a tree care company.
Okay. Well, quickly, are we at risk? Because we work with Preston, and he is he's
and
left
I'm in the quarantine zone.
Well, what I can say is that if they actually latch on to Preston, they'll start sucking his blood out.
Okay.
And then he will become contaminated, and that will start the zombie.
Hey, all right. What the hell does what is the quarantine zone? Tell me that.
Yeah. How lucky are you?
Yeah.
It's most of Montgomery County, if not all, most of Berks County, parts of Chester County. I think it's gotten down into Philadelphia.
But I mean, what are the rules of being in the quarantine zone?
Well, and that's what's stupid about having quarantine, because you guys don't know about it, so how do you know you're doing anything illegal?
Exactly. Yeah. But I assume it's just a way to classify the infested area,
right? Does that mean kill on site?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But that's your state government thinking, let's make a quarantine zone, but we won't tell anybody.
Well, let me ask you something. Are we in any reach of handling this problem, or is it out of control at this point?
My opinion is it's out of control.
Okay. And so, Preston, is it likely that Preston is seeing a substantial uptick in these bugs?
Absolutely. They're a disgusting mess. And when we have to like prune or remove trees that are infested with them, they're absolutely disgusting.
By the way, Chris, somebody's texting in, and I didn't notice this, but they said you sounded like Nicolas Cage. has anybody ever told you that before?
I've never heard that before.
No. Okay. He does sound a little bit like.
But you are saying that you are saying Chris to kill on sight.
If you can, yeah. But catching them is a real bitch.
Okay.
You eat sand.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Okay. So it's more concentrated in the area that I live in. So that's why you guys aren't seeing them. But Kathy, you have these flying ants. You think
that's what it looks like?
But I've noticed these things that look like wasps, but they are not wasps. I can tell because they don't have the stinger that you can see.
They're not Protestant.
And they act a little bit. No, not white Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Okay.
And they act a little bit different than wasps
do. It could look like a wasp, but it would be smaller than a wasp.
I'm a fan of nature. I'm out in it every day. But anything like that in a swarm,
oh my God,
I don't care how wonderful it is, I freak.
So gross.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, when you see footage of the locust swarms that used to be on the plains, it was horrible.
You know what you don't see anymore? Bug zappers. Remember those had a run for a while, like they were all over the place?
Yeah, my neighbor had one.
Do those even exist anymore?
You know, I just saw one, actually, at Shady Brook Farm. They had one. I mean, it's a farm, but... Yeah.
I have a bug zapping swatter.
That's actually very popular.
I had one of those, too.
Yeah. You know, I felt bad because I had it out on the deck, and we had carpenter bees, which were boring into our deck of the old house. Huh. And I was out there, and I'd swing. You know, it's like it actually looks like a tennis racket.
Yeah.
And you feel bad.
We also get these Japanese beetles where I am, and people put out traps all over the place. Dude, they fill up.
Yep.
Did they do the bagabug?
Yeah, the bagabug. Yeah, and I went by one of them that was knocked over, and yeah. I looked inside it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we would have them in our backyard.
Hundreds and hundreds of them in there.
And there's a question, them. Though, Nick, to that to those bags. If they're set up there and they collect them, are they, in fact, drawing them into the area?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's what people are wondering because it has, like the queen scent,
right,
and that's
right,
what draws yeah. them. And so,
are you exacerbating the problem?
Yeah, some people think they are. Let me go to a couple other calls. Kathy, I'm going to go to the flying ant thing that you said you've seen. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Yous are awesome.
Thank you. Yous are, too. What's up, buddy?
just to reiterate on what she said about, yes, they are flying ants. If you Google it, yes. I have a couple spotlights outside of the front of my house, and this is the season when they're around. And they are attracted to light for some reason. I have no idea. But if you Google the flying ant, it'll show you a picture of it. It's exactly, there's thousands of them at this time of season in this area. I live in South Philly.
Dave, when you turn on your lights in the evening, do you see them swarming around the lights?
Yeah, yes, yes. Hundreds, sometimes thousands in the air.
Don't turn on your lights.
Wow.
That's all right. Horrible.
Thanks, Dave. I had a story earlier this year, and I think it was... meteorologists, it was somewhere up in the Midwest or maybe the upper Midwest. Anyhow, they had thought what was a storm
yeah.
on the radar
yes.
was actually a cloud of mayflies.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. So you're talking maybe millions.
Yeah.
It'd have to be to affect the radar that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Preston, there's something about insects, and that's why in the movie The Mist, when they go to the pharmacy...
Yes.
And there are those insect-like creatures.
Terrifying.
I don't know what it is because yeah. you don't associate any sort of, I don't know, emotion or anything with them.
All right. So here's the official word for the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture. It says kill them.
Kill them.
It says right here at the top.
Kill them. In large letters.
All caps.
In all caps. Spotted lantern fly alert. The spotted lantern fly, Lycorma Delicatula.
The great riverboat gambler.
Lycorma delicatula, an invasive plant hopper, has been discovered in Berks and surrounding counties in Pennsylvania. What to do? It says, if you see egg masses, scrape them off, double bag them, and throw them away.
How the hell? How's the layman going to identify an egg mass?
Double bag them.
Double bagger.
Tell your man to double bag them.
Damn near fell through the bottom. Yeah. You can also place the eggs in alcohol or hand sanitizer to kill them. Please report sightings of egg masses, nymphs, or adult spotted lantern fly.
What about leprechauns?
Nymphs.
And wood fairies.
It says using or adult spotted lantern fly, using this tool provided by our partners, Penn State Extension opens in a new window. Oh, it's for something on the.
So how do you see next page?
Right.
How do you how would a
I don't know what person, an egg mass.
How would you get rid of them? How do you you can't go around. Can you spray for them?
Well, that's our arborist had said that
our arsonist
said you just light a giant fire.
Yes, I'm an arsonist and I take care of bug problems. I take care of house and building problems.
Let me go to Tiffany. Hi, Tiffany. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Tiffany?
Hey, so I have a tip on how to kill those. I just have some tennis balls and stuff for the dogs lying around in the yard and I just threw it at it. You know, kind of surprised it, I guess. But that's a good way to get it.
Okay. So you have great aim. Yes.
You make a game out of it.
And you throw tennis balls at the lantern flies.
All right. Thanks, Tiffany. Appreciate it.
Real good.
I have found
kills them real yeah. good. Like
I found that they're fast because, like I said, they look like they're slow. Yeah. They look like they'd be like a moth or something along those lines. And then I went to smack one and or even step on one and Just shot out like the speed of a fly.
How big is this thing? Is it
half inch?
Okay,
something like that.
The picture was up here. It looked like it was cicada size.
No, about this big.
Okay,
yeah, about that big.
Have you tried teeing up a golf ball, swinging the club, knocking it out of the air?
Maybe we could do that. Let me see here. I have Heather wants to comment. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. What's up, Heather?
Hey, listen, I live out in Olney Valley in Berks County, and it did start in our area. It was brought in on a shipping container to a landscaping company.
Wow.
Ag department was notified, and the only way to kill these things are in their nymph stages. Once they reach that adult stage that you saw, Preston, there is no way to
kill
them.
They're immortal. Yeah. There's no way to like spray for them or something like that.
Don't even respond. In the nymph stage, you can actually spray them with hornet spray because that's what we've done in the last 4 years.
All right, so let me ask you something, Heather. What does one look for when attempting to identify these things in the nymph stage?
They actually look like tiny little ladybugs. They're black. And then, they start out incredibly small, and then they actually will get to about the size of a dime, and that's when they start to turn red. And then from there, they will get right into their adult stage.
What if you're taking out ladybugs, though, as collateral damage?
Well, there's a difference because the ladybugs are red, and then you've got the nymphs that are black.
Okay.
So that is how you can tell.
Interesting.
Right now, out in Berks County, they're not everywhere, but out in Olney Valley, they are starting to subside.
Okay.
You can use duct tape, or they actually make this giant fly strip, you know, the ones that used to hang real curly.
Sure.
Well, now they make it in these giant rolls, and you can wrap them around.
Oh, wouldn't you love that hanging around your house?
Wait, you wrap them around your trees?
You wrap them around your tree in about a 3-foot span.
Okay.
So that way, you know, you're adding girth to, you know, the tape. And then from there, they start, as they're climbing up the trees to get to lay their eggs on the top of the tree.
They get stuck on
them. Then they get stuck.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a possible fix.
All right.
It is the only fix right now for the adults. But for the smaller ones, you can kill them with, like, Dawn dish detergent and the hornet spray. That's the only two things that would
do. Those are two ends of the coin. Dawn dish detergent and hornet spray.
Right. Interesting. Yep. All right, thanks, Heather.
Thanks for all the information. It's very useful.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for listening. Thanks.
I'll have to take a video or pictures of the back of my house.
Yeah.
Because they're all over the place.
How many would you say, like, on the house?
Yeah, like, on one small section of the house, I probably saw about 20 of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And do they get inside?
I'm like, no, none of them have gotten inside. Okay. You know what we got? Because we got the dogs, and I was skeptical of this. Because we'd always get flies inside the house. In fact, we had a running kill board. We have a dry erase board with everybody's name by it and how many flies you killed throughout the year. Because I hate flies that much. They get in your house, they lay eggs,
they're all over
the place. So anyway, we got a $30 screen. It's that you hang over your it's like Velcroed to your door.
Oh.
And it's got a split in the middle. And
does that thing work?
It actually works.
Yeah. And the magnets click shut?
The magnets come together. Rochelle wanted to get it. I'm like, this is a waste of money. We need to get a screen door to put in here. She got it. Son of a bitch.
It works.
It works great.
Because I saw the commercials for it.
And they're cheap.
And really?
And they actually work. I was a complete skeptic. Hmm. And I'm not only my customer, I own the company.
It's Casey. You got to see this because it's the equivalent of the, you know, whee, doggies. Because the thing just clicked shut, and I wondered, does it really seal properly?
Whee, doggies!
You bet it does.
I believe they make them even big enough to fit on, like, for garages as well.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's worked.
Huh.
I put it to you, Greg. I definitely
here we go. Here's the commercial cat. Have you seen this thing? Magic Mesh?
Yeah, Magic Mesh. We don't have that exact product, but we have. They make
you have Magic Gash.
That's different.
We have a very similar one. Huh. So if you're interested, and you know what? I haven't really seen any stink bugs either, Nick.
Oh,
Since we put that in.
In fact, you can't even find your kids.
It's somewhere.
Amazing.
I haven't seen as many stink bugs in general. This year.
You're right.
Likewise.
They're being eaten by the lantern bugs.
Yeah. And then they poop out leopards.
One last call, and I appreciate everybody on hold, but we don't have time. I'm going to go to Jay, who is also an arborist. Hi, Jay. You're on the air. Good morning.
rock.
Thank you, my man. So it's your job to kill those spotted lantern flies?
Yes. So at this point in their life cycle, they're adults. They're just getting ready to lay eggs. If there's a heavy infestation in the tree, we do a foliar app of Talstar, which knocks them down. We also have a chemical called Safari, which is a systemic insecticide, which is translocated throughout the tree by the vascular system. And when the insects feed on the tree, then they die.
So for someone in Preston's situation who has a bit of an infestation at his house, is it something you could handle? You could take care of?
He's a professional.
Okay.
What? Right. Okay. Well, but
he
listen.
Just dabbles.
So, Jay, so they're about to lay eggs. So now's the time to kill those adults if you can, right?
Yeah, you want to kill them before they lay eggs.
Okay. All right. I'll start doing it. I'll suck it up. I feel bad about killing insects in their natural habitat.
However, think about this way, though.
But I don't want an infestation.
They're killing other nature. Thanks, they're killing trees and things of that nature, too.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
True.
You're actually like the equalizer in the insect world.
But they're all over the place. So thanks for the calls. I appreciate that, man. Listen, we got to take a break. Here's what I'd like to do. We're going to have a bit of an infestation of our own, but it's of wonderful, beautiful, outstanding, fun-loving women at our sorority party.
Yes.
Kathy's Bitch Box Part 2 celebration. We're doing it a week from tomorrow, and this will be at Harrah's in Philadelphia. So if you are interested, you're at least 21 years or older, and you want to go, if you're a member of the sorority, wonderful. We want to have our sisters back in, but we also want to welcome new sisters into the group. You can go. Let's take five callers at 215-263-WMMR. We will put you on our list. If you bring a guest, they have to be female as well. Kathy has handpicked all these items, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this bitch box is so awesome. Like, I am so excited about it and excited for everybody to see the products that are in it. It really, really is.
Well, you did a great job with the first one. You've done an even better job with this one. And I would say this also, please. You have to attend. You have to be there to get your box because it became too difficult the first time around, and we lost count and things like that. So you have to come to the event and pick it up there.
Any products you want to mention that are in there, Kath?
Yeah, I mean, one of my all-time favorites. It was in last year's box, this one as well, Hey Honey, and they actually have a coupon code right now that you can get 20% off. All the information is on the website. We have Wine Knots, which is... And you know what? Actually, follow us on social media if you don't already, because we're going to do like a little sneak peek this week of some of the products that are in there. But LC Boutique in Warrington, they're going to do a fashion show at the event, which I'm really excited about. Yami Bites Braided Charm, True Beauty Concepts gave some nail polish, which you guys know I love my manicures.
Yeah. We need models that are old enough to be in Harris to be in our
We're working on it.
So we're doing this fashion show, and you have to be 21 or older to go, and I wasn't thinking. I booked our calendar girls to do the fashion show. Well, half of them aren't 21.
But the cocktail waitresses there are...
That's what I was thinking. You can be 18 to work there.
Can you really?
I think so.
I think it's only if you're getting paid, though. But all right, anyway.
Whatever.
Let's,
if you're a model, contact me.
Yeah.
And you're 21.
So your first drink is free, happy hour buffet, and it's from Harrah's Philadelphia. Sign up now for Total Rewards card and receive $250 in offers. You can take exit 8 on I-95 Harrah's Philadelphia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So 215-263-WMMR. We'll take those callers now. We'll come back in a second, and the bizarre file is up next.
Who is it?
Jackson's Backyard Broadcast returns. MMR and Hatfield Meats are coming to your house to set up camp in the backyard on Friday, September 14th. We'll bring Hatfield Meats for your grill, some beer, and the music to kick off your weekend in style. Enjoy 4 hours of fame as Jackson broadcasts live from your place. Go to WMMR.com and tell us why your backyard rocks, including a photo, so we'll know what we're getting into. Jackson's Backyard Broadcast, presented by Hatfield Meats. Simply Hatfield. And 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Okay, Preston and Steve, get this. We came across a list of the ways you can make yourself more attractive. I mean, no matter what you look like, what you were born with.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with the first one here. Just travel in a group of less attractive people.
With less attractive people?
Yes.
It would work by contrast. Yeah, it absolutely would work. The trick is finding anyone who's less attractive than I am.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah, that's going to be the issue. Yeah.
They say stubble for guys. Put a little stubble there. Get rid of the razor.
On your teeth or on your... a little, but stubble does not work for some guys. That's sort of, that's a, that's a... That's a look. And some guys, it doesn't work. For some guys, it does.
Yeah.
You have to know what works for you. What about this one? Avoiding selfies.
Yes.
Okay, so Kathy chimed in on that. So what, you don't want to be seen doing that in public, or you don't want to post selfies?
Post
them? Really? Okay.
I think selfies are bad for anybody, but even worse for a guy.
No kidding.
I just do.
Alex, do you think that?
I know why you're asking me. I do think it's a weird thing where, like, you don't want to be caught actually in the process of taking a selfie.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's done right, then it's okay. But it's always awkward and looked down upon if, like, someone sees you doing it. It's
okay,
really
yeah.
And
yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Guys don't seem to be good with selfies.
Speaking of the selfie, what is the purpose of a selfie? Isn't it just so people give you compliments, Preston?
I would think so. Yeah. To show that I'm in this really cool place, I'm doing this really cool thing, look at me. But then again, if you are alone and you're taking pictures of scenic areas, I always think it looks a little bit better if you have some contrast and someone in it to give it a little context.
Well, to that question to both you guys, are you talking about, Mike, getting complimented on the way you look or where you are and what you're doing?
No. Forget where you are, because a lot of selfies, there's nothing in the background.
You mean like the one when you're in the car or something?
Oh, I don't take those.
No, we learned long ago that we were dealt a bad genetic hand.
Oh, me too.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I agree with sometimes you're alone. Like, I'm usually alone. So who's going to take a picture?
Well, we want to see your selfies. You're hot.
No, yours are okay.
If you want to see something cool, that's cool. But just a picture of someone's face filling the entire frame, that's just to make sure you get a compliment.
Agreed.
Or how am I, it's a barometer. How am I looking? How about this one? Do you like people with scars? It says that.
Yeah. Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think scars. The old saying is women dig scars.
Kathy,
yeah, not Frankenstein scars, but like there's a story behind that scar.
Yeah, it's bones heal, chick-stick scars, and pain is temporary and glorious forever, something like that.
Yeah.
Mike, I think a scar, that can be kind of attractive.
I really like it on a woman too.
But do you know scars? Do you know who looks really? Tina Fey has a couple of, and I don't like a flawlessly. You know, almost android look. I like imperfection, and I think that's a sexy thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need some alone time?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of perfection, I've got to run because we're out of time, but we'll see you guys next
week. All right. Take care, guys. Bye. See you later. Bye. I did read that list. There are a couple of interesting things on there. One of them was the way you walk.
Yeah.
Can change the way people perceive you, especially if you're trying to be attractive.
I always get you want some fries with that shake because I got a badunka butt. No, yes, a walk. I think a confident walk, right?
Well, it's
if we're talking about guys, right?
It's confident, but it's a slower paced walk.
Yeah.
And but not, you know, lazy looking, but and your posture as well. Because if you're hunched over, I don't know. I think that.
What about a John Wayne amble? Do you like?
But nobody ever sees how they walk. You would actually have to have someone filming you, and you'd have to be doing it without knowing you're being filmed, if you know what I mean. Because otherwise you're going to change a little bit how you walk, and then you can take a look at what your average gait is.
Another one on the list was a slow smile.
Yeah.
Like this. the Joker has a slow smile.
I think that can be kind of creepy.
Why I'm always smiling.
And scars.
And scars. Chicks dig scars. I could never get a date. So I took a razor and I carved a smile into my face.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work for me.
Bane?
I have a different issue. No one can see my man.
But anyway, yeah, there's the article's out about
it. One thing they did mention, though, that is true in that article. Walking a dog, walking a pet, if you saw on that list.
Yeah.
When I'm walking Chelsea around town, that is an automatic icebreaker. Listen, I'm happily married, deliriously happily married for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
But women will come over and they start conversations. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Puppies and babies, they always say. Yeah. Those are the two things that'll draw women in for sure. But that don't that
it would look weird for me to walk around with a
I don't that's an icebreaker. That's a way to get conversation started. I don't know if it makes you look more attractive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But I don't know. Anyhow, I've got bizarre file stories, and I would love to present them to you now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning brought to you by Elmwood Park Zoo. Branch out and challenge yourself at treetop adventures. Climb, zip, and swing through the trees high above the Elmwood Park Zoo. You can visit zipthezoo.com to begin your adventure. In Los Angeles, a body found inside a stone pillar outside of a grocery store on Saturday afternoon. Maybe the remains of a car theft suspect who was fleeing from authorities earlier in the week.
Yeah, I heard about this. How did this happen?
Well, after a strong odor led to the grisly discovery, authorities said it's possible the body belongs to a man who ran into the store on Monday, fleeing from deputies after a traffic stop on suspicion of stealing a vehicle. The body was found inside a stone pillar located just outside of the Winco Foods grocery store. Police were called to the scene around 2:40 in the afternoon. Hours later, a manager at the grocery store began smelling a strong odor coming from the pillar. The manager called a plumber, thinking there was some sort of sewage problem there. When the plumber arrived and started to knock away the pillar stone, a leg and tennis shoe were available. At that point, law enforcement officials were called to the scene. Upon investigating the finding, authorities linked it to an incident earlier this week. On Monday, a man was pulled over by deputies after he was suspected of driving a stolen vehicle. He ran into the grocery store, and then he went onto the rooftop as he fled from deputies. They were unable to get a hold of him at the time. The rooftop has access to the inside of the stone pillars.
There you go.
So they're hollow.
There you go.
And that's where the body was found. It's possible he fell or climbed.
he possibly fell or climbed
into the pillar to hide from law enforcement. But with the recent heat wave and the density of the stone pillar, he may have then gotten trapped and unable to breathe.
What a way to die.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. It was a pretty horrible way to
Jeez.
Go. Video from the scene first showed responders removing the body from the inside of the pillar. Mm. And they are trying to identify the guy. A family in Colorado is in mourning after a visit from an unwanted house guest ended in bloodshed. Kayla Slaughter said that her roommate returned home Thursday night around 10:30 p.m. to find a mountain lion in the living room of the house they share. Slaughter said the mountain lion looked right at her roommate and licked its lips. The roommate took off and called police. The roommate said that the whole thing was terrifying. Slaughter believes that the mountain lion snuck in through a screen in an open window. Luckily, no humans were inside the home at the time, but their house cat Klondike was trapped inside. Slaughter said, I do have a picture of the mountain lion playing on the couch, and it looks like it's watching TV. Shortly after the roommate discovered the mountain lion had actually eaten Klondike.
Yeah.
It ate the family cat.
I figured that would happen.
When wildlife officers arrived, they had trouble getting the uninvited guests out of the house. They shot beanbags at the windows, attempting to drive the mountain lion out for hours. But eventually, several hours later, the mountain lion walked out. The front door, walked down the street, and back into the wild. Slaughter says the whole ordeal has taught her to be certain to close and lock all the doors and windows at night. And when leaving the house, something police say is a good advice for not only avoiding mountain lions, but also bears and burglars.
What part of Colorado does it say?
Boulder.
Boulder? Wow.
Is that where that was?
That's a populated area, man.
Yeah, okay.
Was this, where was the last story you had where they, remember that you had the same thing?
That was in Canton, but that was the bears. Or
no, there was another story where, remember, they really sort of took their time in
the gal
finessing this.
Blinked her eyes.
Yeah.
But I don't remember where that was, Steve. Well, like their first smile, their first steps, and their first laugh, a child's first scam is something that a parent will cherish forever. But in most cases, a kid's first scam is entirely amateur. We're talking about stealing cookies from a jar,
yes,
secretly staying up late to watch a scary movie, or hiding something they broke. But six-year-old Caitlin, she's a pro already. And it's almost intimidating. For her birthday, Caitlin was allowed to order a Barbie doll using her mother's Amazon account. Under supervision, she did just that. However, later, she asked her mom if she could return to the website to track her package. That's when Caitlin had discovered the joys of the add to cart button and the one-day delivery option. The next day, boxes upon boxes arrived outside of Caitlin's home in Utah.
Yes.
Caitlin's older cousin, Rhea, had said that her mom went with her on Amazon, went on her account, saw three pages of things she had ordered.
What was the dollar value, do they say?
On a shopping spree that would make any kindergartner agree with Emmy, she purchased $350 worth of toys, video games, and board games.
Wow.
According to Rhea, Caitlin was not grounded, but all the toys except for the Barbie doll were returned to Amazon. Twitter users commented that Caitlin's mother wasn't alone in raising a fellow scammer, and they shared their stories as well of their kids ordering online.
Well, you know what? Also, you leave open the option of buy again. So if you track the order, you can just click buy again, and it'll, you know,
replace it.
She got a bunch of stuff.
Oh, boy.
A bear wandered into a liquor store Monday, and the entire incident was captured on surveillance camera.
Yeah, I'm having a small party. Can you recommend a good dessert wine?
The bear can be seen wandering through the parking lot of Crazy Bruce's Discount Liquor.
Is Bruce here?
Before it made its way to the sidewalk, an employee said the automatic door operated by motion sensors opened for the bear, which walked inside the vestibule. But the animal only made it into the doorway. Two quick-thinking employees actually hooked the latches at the top of the second set of doors from inside the store to prevent the bear from making it all the way into the store.
We're looking at the video.
Yeah.
Now, you see the bear walk in and you're looking, okay, it's on all fours. That's a big bear, though.
Yeah. An unsuspecting customer actually walked right through the vestibule without noticing the bear as he was ushered inside by an employee.
How many people do you think gave up drinking that day?
Yeah. One of those employees acted quickly in a situation where there is no standard procedure.
Hey, you got a bear out there.
The employee said instinct, I guess. That's what I'm thinking. The bear ran off, and fortunately, no one was hurt.
It's amazing.
Little incident, yeah. And we'll wrap it up there. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Hey, don't forget, we have tickets to see Dane Cook. And this is our secret text word secret to 39333. Dane is going to be at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And that will be Friday, September 7th. The tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. But if you text word secret to 39333, you just might win. So good luck with that. Also, a heads up, tomorrow we're doing another Dunkin' Donuts cooling caravan because a heat wave is on the way. We're going to get into the 90s tomorrow. It's going to stick there for a while. All this rain is bringing a lot of humidity with it. If you work on a construction site, an outdoor working environment, whatever it may be,
yes,
and you would like us to visit you tomorrow morning, first of all, get permission from your boss and then send information to nick@wmmr.com, the location of your work site. We need to know that and about how many people are going to be there. And we could send in this wonderful iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts tomorrow morning to start the whole thing. It's the cooling caravan. Fill your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin', excludes cold brew, plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offers. Once again, text nick@wmmr.com where your work site is, how many people are there, get permission first, and we might come by and see you tomorrow morning. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We have a butt plug from Steve Morrison.
Yes, we do.
About an event coming up.
It's the second year, Preston, for Dining Out for the Dogs. It's taking place at all the White Dog Cafes. It's on Monday evening, starting at about 5. And it's one of these dining out events where you all you have to do is go out and just have dinner. Book, make some reservations at any one of the three locations in Haverford, University City, and Wayne. And as with last year, the money raised will benefit and go to Alpha Bravo Canine. What they do, and Jen Green over there at Alpha Bravo Canine, they raise and train dogs to help veterans deal with post-traumatic stress disorder and other brain trauma issues. What these dogs do is phenomenal. It's the easiest, light-lifting thing to do as far as a charity. White dog cafes are just wonderful. And this year we had a whole bunch of people associated with our sister stations, and we have even more this time around. Your favorite DJs from Ben or MGK or The Fanatic or MMR, everyone's in on this. Everyone's going to participate, and a lot of the air personalities that you listen to are going to be out at these various locations just saying hi as you come by. I'm going to be at Haverford with Casey. I think you're going to be there.
I will be there
as well, John DeBell is going to be there, and Nick, you're going to be at Wayne.
Yeah, man, love that restaurant. And, I'll be over there with Nick.
Very cool. Well, thank you, guys. The money raised, and you guys have seen what happens. These dogs are just phenomenal. They give these veterans back their lives and help them deal with all the things that they have to deal with. As they try to get their lives back together. So it's a wonderful night. There's going to be all sorts of, auction items and stuff available. There's going to be puppies to kiss and all that sort of deal. But the general gist of it is go out, Have some dinner. The percentage of what you purchase will go towards Alpha Bravo Canine. It's Monday night. It's a kind of an off night. You're probably going to have dinner at some point during the week. Make it Monday night. Any one of the three White Dog Cafes, and we'll see you out there. And that's you're going to hear me say it a few more times, but we really encourage you to support it. It's a wonderful cause.
Nice. And then, Marissa, you've got an event tonight.
Yeah, tonight I'm going to be at Harvest in Radnor. And we're doing a rosé wine dinner. So, five courses. There is a regular menu and a vegetarian menu, and it's all farm to fresh foods. If you've never been there, and like everything's like low calorie and delicious. Kathy and I were there for happy hour last week, and got to sample some foods and some drinks. We had a great time. That place is beautiful. So I think last minute there are a few reservations still available. Five courses tonight, and it's $59. So cool. Grab some friends
and
come out. 6:30 is when it starts.
All right, and let's hang with Marissa for a moment longer. We had some time off, but Marissa took the most exotic vacation of any of us. She went to Cuba. That is correct. She went to Cuba. And how long have you been working on this trip?
A day or two.
Is it a pain in the ass to arrange?
Okay, I've been wanting to go to Cuba for years, since the embargo was lifted a few years ago and we were allowed to go. I've always wanted to go, and I mentioned it to my boyfriend, and he just bought tickets like a month ago.
She said it.
Congratulations, Matt.
Yep. Like a month ago. Or
I think we said it.
Yeah.
I finally met him. He's a really nice guy.
Well, thank you, Steve.
All right, wait. So just real quick. So we are, as Americans, allowed to go to Cuba now?
So you are allowed to go. There's a list of 12 reasons you can go. Political reasons, work, education.
You can't just vacation there.
You can't just travel.
Okay.
You can't just go and be a tourist.
All right. So why did you, quote unquote,
work,
go?
Obviously.
So my boyfriend does own a few breweries. And so we went down and visited the breweries and learned and talked to some people down there and found some really cool fruits that we're going to brew some beers with in a couple weeks.
Okay. So you were able to get in on one of these technicalities and go and visit. Now, people have gone.
You're now a brewer.
I am now a brewer, and I went for education.
Listen,
reasons.
They say, obviously there are issues with Cuba, but the people are supposed to be lovely, and it is. I've always wanted to go as well. Any fan of Godfather 2, Preston, and for a long time, Cuba was poised to be and was sort of Vegas and then some. You know, it was just a tremendous party destination.
Yeah,
But after the revolution, everything just locked in time. That's why you see the classic shots of them driving 57 and 58, Chevys and stuff like that. It's a snapshot. Is that what you encountered?
You nailed it, Steve. I have photos of my grandparents, at this bar called Sloppy Joe's, which was like this international destination.
Right.
And they're like partying and living it up. My grandmother had like a tiny bit of cleavage. It was fancy, right?
What year was that?
That was 1952.
Wow. Okay.
And you go there now, and the country still looks like it's in the 60s.
Was that bar still there?
Yes. It reopened in
was your grandmother still?
She was hanging out.
What the hell?
Been waiting 15 years for you, Marissa. That bar just opened a few years ago, so we went there and had a few drinks. Nice. The walls are covered in the photos.
Wow.
Look just like the one from my grandparents. As soon as you get into Havana, there's like 55 and 56 and 57 Cadillacs and Pontiacs all over the place.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm fascinated by all of it, Marissa. And my aunt and uncle went before the embargo was lifted. They were allowed to go on a special dispensation. And at the time, my uncle said that there were basically two economies, the legal state-run economy and then one which is the black market, and you could use dollars or European currency. What's it like now as far as like capitalism goes?
Well, so you have to remember, too, I'm going to say a few things. Like it is a third world country. It you can tell that everyone living there is under a regime.
Yeah.
And the food and the bars that you go into everywhere you go, it's very governmentally run. Everywhere you go,
strict wise.
Yes.
I've heard though that obviously they can't watch everything all the time, and that's where there's. Or can they?
Well, what I was going to say.
You've been there, yeah.
It's a tourist destination for everyone in the world except Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. So, like, Canadians, everybody in North America except Americans have been going there, and Europeans have been traveling there
right.
for years. It's kind of this hidden gem away from us.
So do you feel like you kind of stuck out, though, because you were there and you were American?
So I heard a lot of things. I was telling people that I was going, but I was a little intimidated. I didn't want to put it on social media because I didn't want, like, someone to blackmark me and know that yeah. I was going. But I was trying to find from people.
You have an American spy coming to your country. Thank you very much for your information. We will be looking for M. Magnata.
So a lot of people told us to, like, say that you're Canadian. So we said that we were from Toronto. But because you're
what,
in...
if someone asked you?
Yes. Because...
Mm. Now, at this point, you're tied to a chair and being punched, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Now, did Matt, your boyfriend, wear a Toronto Blue Jays hat by any chance?
No, I don't think we wore any sports paraphernalia while we were down there.
It's purposely not to stand out.
Exactly.
So you, we when you travel, you go through our airport. There are checks that you go through. What's it like when you get into Havana?
You just land. Yeah. The only checkpoint is there's three hubs you can go from. You can leave from Miami. You can leave from Charlotte. And I just found out there's a direct flight from New York.
Okay.
And you go and you get a visa while you're there, or you can get it ahead of time. And I think it's $40 or $80. And that's it. They stamp your passport and you're good to go.
And where, you just land. Where did you go out of?
So we went out of Charlotte. We had the visas already. I mean, you're like standing in line like you're at customs. Like you're kind of nervous. And the woman's just like, hey. You ready? Here's your visa. Okay, here's a stamp, and there you go. You're good to go. She had checked everything. We had all the paperwork already, so maybe that's why it was easy for us. But
no customs on the Cuba side?
There was. There was customs on the Cuba side, and, you know, same deal. You're a little intimidated by customs, and you
I'm intimidated domestically, so I think in Cuba, I'd freak the F out.
When you come home, it's a little nervous. Were you scared or nervous for any reason at any point during the trip?
It's the safest country I've ever been to. And I think it's because nobody wants to commit a crime. Everybody knows if they...
Well, like Singapore.
Yeah.
You know,
they cane you.
You get in trouble.
Right. Yeah. It's a beautiful city. Yeah. You know, you just get caned if you spit gum out.
So here's the deal. As a woman, as somebody who lives in the city, I'm very used to, like, keeping my hand on my purse.
Yeah.
And walking with, like, zoning out anybody who's talking to you. You know, people are just... coming up to you on the streets or saying things.
I'm
a nice person otherwise. I smile and I everything. But everybody's just like, hey, friend, how are you? Where are you from?
Oh, really?
And so as a woman, I'm kind of like...
Toronto.
Hey.
Hey.
I found out they really don't say A in Toronto.
Is there a language barrier?
A lot of people speak broken English, but for the most part, people learned English.
I gave you my little translation stick. Did you use it or did you forget to bring it?
Yes, we found out it only works one way. So you can. I thought it translated back.
No. I mentioned no, but it will translate you. Like you can speak. You don't have to have a Wi-Fi connection with this thing. It'll translate what you're saying to the people you're trying to talk to.
Yeah. So at one point, we rented like a 55 Chevy and had were driven to the beach. And that guy who drove us, that driver, spoke very broken English. So because we were in the car for like 2 hours, at some point we started recording things and saying it back, and he giggled and was telling us about the car and such.
Any currency issues? Could you use credit cards like normal?
No credit cards. Everything is cash.
Wow.
So you carried a lot of cash on you?
Not that much. And when I got back...
Canadian currency.
Well, I told somebody and literally the first thing they said was, did you run out of money? And like the last couple of days we were a little concerned. But what we did was...
You would assume there are ATMs all over the place.
So the American dollar has very little value down there.
Yeah.
So we switched everything to euros while we were in the U.S. and then made the euros pesos.
Okay.
There. So there's little tricks and tips that some people have that
this takes research. There's no way you did this.
Well,
Marissa is the pack the morning you're leaving type of gal.
She did up at 2 o'clock in the morning and packed. Kathy and I were at happy hour at Harvest 3 days before, and we were just talking about vacation. I was like, can I freak you out, Kathy? I don't have hotel rooms yet. I didn't have hotel rooms.
That's crazy.
So, but everyone who's traveled to Mark Summers had gone down. Mm-hmm. So the people are just lovely.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I started to say, that, like, everybody's nice. They just want to know your story.
What's Canada like?
In fact, they'll talk too much. They're like, hey, friend, where are you from? You know, they just want to say hi, and then they want your whole story and find out where you're from. People were very excited to have Americans visiting. We love meeting people. Both of us are the type of people that walk into a country or walk into any area and just want to get to know the people.
Right.
So just walking down the street, and some guy's like, hey, nice sneakers. And we sat and had dinner. dinner with the guy.
So oh my
gosh.
So
he was telling us about the country, and he was writing down a list of bars and restaurants to visit.
And didn't he keep asking you if you thought he would fit in your luggage?
He actually did. See, this is where it got a little sad. We asked him if he had ever left Cuba, and yeah. He said he's never left. His sister was a dancer and married a German man, and now
her name was Loa.
Yeah.
Now she lives in Germany. We asked him if he'll visit, and he said, you know, he'll probably never leave Cuba in his lifetime.
Mm. Wow.
Now, this is the thing. He was a very genuine guy, and he was awesome. Was he telling us a true story, or yeah. was he hustling us a little bit? I don't know, but we had a really great time talking with him.
All right.
Who is the woman that you posted the picture of on your Instagram?
With the cigar.
Okay, so, yeah, there's just an elderly woman with a cigar hanging out. It's kind of, she's a street performer. So okay. She just sits on a corner, and I throw her a couple of pesos. And
she sings nothing but Coldplay songs, right?
Yes. Well, funny, a lot of Billy Joel and Bon Jovi down
Is that
there.
Right?
Yes.
That's funny.
So you go to Jamaica, and you hear Bob Marley everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a lot of, like, Eagles songs and...
Well, Glenn Frey's from Havana. No,
that's right.
By the way, Steve, somebody got a text that says was in Havana a couple of weeks ago and found out that The Godfather was actually not filmed there.
Yeah, no, they didn't film the...
Any idea where they filmed it?
I think it was in Mexico someplace.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they really did it there or not.
Do you smoke any cigars? I know you're not a smoker, but when in Cuba?
You know what? So we took a trip to Vinales is where the plantations are. It's about 2.5 hours outside Havana.
That's kind of a brave move. You're going into rural, you know.
Yes. It's a huge country. Yeah. It's like going to America and only visiting New York.
Yeah.
Like, there's all these other provinces to visit. It's really cool. Like, Steve, you guys were talking about Guantanamo Bay. That's 9 hours from Havana.
9 hours, wow.
So there's a lot more to it.
And that's going 53 miles an hour in a 52 Chevy.
They do have new shocks and sound systems.
Is it, like, immediate poverty when you get outside of Havana? Or is it, because you mentioned it being, like, a third world country.
Compared to the luxuries that we know, it's not over the top.
Well, I mean, like Jamaica, you get off the resort, right. And you're like, oh my God, these people are living in abject poverty.
Pockets of Puerto Rico are the same way. And you get like, there are resort areas and there are nice areas and there are suburbs with money. But then you get out and you see why parts of it are still third world.
Exactly.
So from what I saw of the country, that describes Havana more than it does the outside areas. You know, walking through the streets, you know, nobody really had air conditioning. It was just their windows were open, and at night people were just sitting there, and the streets were a little dirty. But like I said, very safe, and everyone was kind of happy and content, and kids are playing in the street, and everybody is aware of there's like horse and buggies, and there's train cars, and there's cars going through, and motorcycles. Outside, Vinales that we went to was beautiful. There were standalone houses up and down the streets, and you don't get a hotel. You just drive up to the area, you knock on somebody's door, and rent a room. Kathy's jaw is dropped.
I'm dying right now.
So there's a little symbol.
It's kind of course like, you can rent a room.
Right? Yeah. It's like an Airbnb. There's
you got very nice boobies.
Blue hook symbol, and you just knock on a door and say, do you have a room for rent?
The blue hook symbol means it's a room for...
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're just jumping in, Marissa spent her vacation in Cuba. How long were you there, by the way?
A week.
Okay. Yeah. How was the food?
Okay.
It was just okay.
You know that I love food. Yep. I'm a very foodie everywhere I go. I love
food. I'm glad you didn't say, oh, it was amazing.
Best Swedish meatballs I ever had.
But you're being straight up. It was just kind of,
it was very simple. It didn't have a lot of seasoning.
Okay.
Garlic was about the only season they used.
Huh.
Not a lot of salt and pepper. I think just it's very simple everywhere you go. And because I don't eat meat, so I didn't get to experience
Oh, that's true. That's true, yeah.
But the mangoes were amazing. The other fruits were okay. The pineapple was okay. There's a lot of dragon fruit. Guava down there was really good. That's one of the fruits that we're going to make beer with.
Okay.
I know that you love to experience new things all the time. And so sometimes when you go on a vacation, you're like, all right, I've done that. It's off the bucket list. I don't need to go back. Would you ever go back to Cuba?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the first place I've ever traveled to that I can't wait to go back.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You must love that guava.
The first place.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, as a Canadian, she just immediately connected with the people, Preston.
Ironically, I've never been to Canada.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that you used that because I actually had a friend who traveled to Cuba. This was years ago before, I guess, we were allowed to go there. And he has a dual citizenship. He has a Canadian citizenship and he is also an American. So when he traveled with his mother, who lives in Canada, they used their Canadian passports to go. But on the way back, they got questioned. Mm. And so he said, I
said, I wasn't going to lie. Yes, I was coming in on my Canadian, you know, citizenship, yeah. but I yeah. wasn't going to lie. So when they said, are you also an American citizen? He said, yes, they detained him and held him.
How long?
It was, I think he said over 24 hours.
That's it. I would have been sitting on a mountain of crap.
Well, and they told him when they left, they said, you lied to us. Don't ever come back, because if you do, you won't leave. Whoa. And he was like, okay.
Wow.
So he's like, I'm not ever going to Cuba.
Okay.
Ever again.
I apologize if you answered this question already, but did you just travel Standard Airline?
Yeah, it was American Airways.
Wow.
Yeah, and the, you know, the Havana airport is lovely. And there's 4 or 5 airports in Cuba as total. At one point, we were at this little beach community, and that's when I got a little bored, because it was just like an all-inclusive resort. We didn't really know where we were going. And I was like, maybe we can just like go to the airport and like rent a helicopter and like go for a ride and just like go to the plantations.
Where's your helicopter rental place?
Right.
Well, and so what we found out is everything in Cuba is Caribbean time. So you do need to like book things a day or two in advance. You can't just like, all right, I want to go now. You can't do that.
Right. Do you run into any other Americans?
Lots of Americans. You just start talking to people. Or if you, you know, hear somebody speaking English, just go talk to them. There was the Southern Illinois basketball team,
the Salukis,
staying in our hotel, and wow. they were playing the Havana national team.
Now, at any point, did anyone take you to see a show starring a guy named Superman?
No.
Okay.
We were going to go to the Tropicana, but didn't make it. It just didn't work into our plans. Oh, but Casey, you asked if I smoked a cigar. So when we got to Vinales, we rented that room. It was very lovely. It was like an Airbnb. The woman made us breakfast the next morning. We sat in our little porch and ate breakfast. That was one of the best meals I ate the whole time.
Huh.
When we got to Vinales the night before, though, we thought, like, nothing's going to be open. It's a little thing. We went, like, 4 doors down where we met a woman who did speak English. And she's like, oh, if you just go to the top of the street, there's a bunch of bars. And we did. And there was, like, a block party just happening.
Oh, no.
Carts in the middle of the street, people making mojitos fresh right there and drinking rum, and it's exactly what you want it to be. It's a little touristy. It's like a little bit of like a mountain town.
Okay.
There's people hanging out.
There are no 24-hour places, right? It's either 7 or 11.
I think like 3 or 4 o'clock is like the last
okay.
bars.
All right.
And is this where you smoked the cigar?
So the next morning we rode horseback 4 hours up a mountain, and we went to a plantation and got some coffee beans and saw rum being made. And then we learned about cigars, and a guy sat there and rolled them, and we sat on his farm that his grandfather had from 1962.
Mm-hmm. And very, very warm and very, I mean, chatty, welcoming.
Yeah, told the whole story.
That's wild.
You know, played it up. It was a little touristy.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to ride a horse in this beautiful land. Like, I would take a photo, and then I'd ride another 20 feet and take another photo because it got prettier 10 feet down the road. It's gorgeous.
One more time. Did you smoke any cigars?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Thank you.
20 minutes ago.
Yes. When we were rolling them right there, you dip it in honey that they have fresh from the farm right there, and he handed it around, and I smoked it.
What'd you think?
It was great.
Okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Awesome. I mean, how could you not?
Do you smoke cigars
ever? I mean,
ever?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
I don't know, because they make such a stink about, you know, Cuban cigars and how great they are, and people swear by them. I've had what I've been told is a Cuban cigar, and I'm like, yeah.
Do you notice a big difference?
No.
I bet, you know, maybe Weston would, maybe Bill would.
Yeah, somebody who smokes regularly might really get an appreciation.
Anybody who smokes regularly will say that the Cuban is not like the super gold standard.
Okay, so it's not dramatic.
Like it used to be.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's the tech while you're there? Like, can you text people? Is there any cell coverage, or are you pretty remote?
No, we had our cell phones turned off the entire week.
That's great.
Yeah, just use them as a phone or as a camera, which is really funny because you only use like 10% of your battery if you have it on airplane mode.
Right, yeah. And it was a whole week that you were there?
The whole week. There was Wi-Fi hotspots in places in the hotels or here and there. Or the big thing was they would sell cards. So the guys in the street that were he would sell a Wi-Fi hotspot. Like, you would walk into a little courtyard and there'd be 30 people sitting on their cell phone right there in that little area. I'd heard threats that people might hack your phone while you're down there. I don't know, but we just stayed off of it. It's nice to unplug for a week.
Were you warned about, you know, because we had mentioned a place like Singapore, and if you don't realize it, like, littering is a serious crime there,
right,
and so on
right.
and so forth. Is there anything that you were told to beware of? You know, I mean, you don't want to get locked up, obviously, for something simple that you might not think is a big deal. You know, like, you know, open alcohol containers, or I'm sure that was, there's no rule against that, but there's something similar to that.
No, not really. Like I said,
the
fun
is in finding out what you violated.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we had some threats. You know, be wary of telling people you're American and this and that. Okay. Okay. It's much more.
Do you see government officials, soldiers, anybody around like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They would drive around in buses at night and like collect them. But then I figured, like, I see the PPA do that all the time. They'll just drive a bus around and drop people
Cuban
off.
Cuban soldiers?
Know, in area. Yes. Right downtown in Manayunk. Steve, you're actually not allowed to go, and I will tell you why. There are feral dogs and cats everywhere.
Yeah.
And you would come home with armfuls of pets.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
They're just wandering the streets. They're adorable. They'll just, you're at a restaurant and a little cat will come up to you. And I made the mistake of like throwing in a little shrimp and then he
was now your cat.
my friend now. But it's great. And it's, I don't know. It's beautiful.
It's very cool.
It's vibrant. There's music everywhere you go. Like,
does
you
it
just
get
walk
annoying?
Into a bar. No, it's awesome.
Was it fun having sex in Cuba?
I will tell you the next time I go after I get married.
But it's fun kissing.
Isn't it, though? Yeah. They were necking down by the beach.
Kissing in Cuba is wonderful.
Yeah, no, people were texting and asking, you know. Because when you go on vacation, you can have some crazy sex, especially if you're in an exotic location.
You dip the end in honey.
Makes that much more sweet. Wow. Okay, that's pretty wild, man. That's a very ambitious trip. And let me ask you, though, going back to the having the proper visas and all that stuff. Now, you had to do that in advance. How far in advance did you set that up?
Like 3 weeks.
Okay.
No, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, no, I thought, I actually bumped into Connor Barwin, who stood at the same exact microphone and
you
told
bumped
us.
Bumped into him there?
Not there, a few weeks before.
Oh. He's cute.
And he went. He came.
Yeah, I know he did go, yeah.
He stood right here and told us, and I asked
in fact,
him for
he
some
brought
suggestions.
Me a cigar. Marissa brought me a cigar,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
I had to. Yeah. I got really excited when I saw, because I didn't know if you smoked anymore, and I saw your post from the
on
golf
occasion.
Course. Yeah, yeah, so I figured I'd give you one. And I thought we just bought tickets and we're good to go. And he's like, oh, did you get your visa and everything? I was like, no, we just like bought plane tickets. And then I was talking to my boyfriend later. He's like, oh, no, I'm in the process of getting all that. So like I said, it's pretty easy. The visa, if you don't get it ahead of time, you can get it right there at the airport, which we found out.
Okay.
It's
they even have your cell number listed on it if you wait to the last second. Yeah.
By the way, were you allowed to bring that cigar back or did you smuggle it back?
No, you can bring up to 50 cigars.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring up to 50 cigars.
In your
cooch. Rum, coffee, everything. You know, there's just, yeah. It's...
Did you see any tributes to Castro while you were there? Were there pictures, you know, murals, statues, anything like that?
So we talked to a lot of people and tried to figure things out. Obviously, Che is everywhere down there. You know, that silhouette that we're all very familiar with.
Yes.
It's on T-shirts. It's painted on the walls. It's everywhere. From what we did hear about people who would talk about Castro, that he didn't want to be immortalized like Che. So he really didn't want his image anywhere. You would walk by bookstores and you would see a few books about him. There's books about Obama. They love Obama down there. But they're just, he wasn't, you know, idolized in the same way. He didn't want his image to make people to make money off of it.
And so a couple of people were texting, you know, you said you needed to take all cash with you. Mm-hmm. How much money do you need for a week? You guys almost ran out of money.
Well,
so
we did luck out. We found a website, a European website, and made the hotels through that. So we didn't have to worry about paying for hotels ahead of time.
Yeah.
But if you were to, like, you know, you could do...
Do you like a couple $1,000 with you? More?
Around that, yeah, because you could also do like 30 pesos a night for like a room.
What's a peso equivalent, by the way?
In Canadian money.
It was 80 cents to the American dollar, the but I think it was $1.12 to a euro.
Were you doing the math in your head? Because if I ever have to do that, I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, it's horrible.
We ended up keeping about 12 cents by transferring from euros to pesos instead of losing 20 cents.
When it goes over to foreign currency, I just surrender. I don't This
here,
is how much
take
it
what
is.
You need.
It's like Monopoly money. There you
bargaining.
Go.
It's like leaving out a bowl of candy on Halloween.
Right, exactly.
Take what you need.
Take what you need.
So most meals were about like 25 cook, and that was, which is like a peso. And so that was, you know, a couple appetizers and a bunch of drinks.
Dollars would you have estimated?
Well, that was about $30.
Okay.
The nicest meal that we had was $75.
Tipping or no tipping?
Tipping.
Yeah.
75 for both of you?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, you talk to somebody and they say they make 12 cook a month.
12 what?
12, like 12 pesos a month.
Cook?
Cook. C-U-C is like
it's a guy who likes to watch his woman make love to another guy.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this.
Lots of those down there.
That's why I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. So,
cook a month?
So, apparently that's what, you know, the normal wage is down there a month. Okay. But then people apparently have a side hustle and... You know, there's a lot of people on the streets that are, you know, a lot of women with babies, and they might ask you to for some pesos to buy milk for their baby
or something like that.
And there's all of that. But everyone's, you know, very open and nice and kind and just, you know, wants your help. And they're from everybody we talked to, they were very excited for Americans to come down and visit.
How was the weather for the week?
Sweated our asses
off. Oh, wow.
Really hot.
100% humidity, 90 degrees.
Oh, very humid.
Yeah.
See, I don't, I always think of the beach.
I've been in Caribbean, the Virgin Islands.
Yeah. Breezy.
Yeah.
You walk out of the hotel in Havana and you just start sweating.
Yeah. So how far is the beach from Havana? A couple hours, you said?
Well, so there is a beach. It's only about 20 kilometers right outside. It's a free beach. You just walk down and it's like going to Sea Isle or Ocean City.
Out of the hotel, quick 20-mile walk?
Yeah, you know.
20-kilometer kilometers. Walk.
Waves or more calm water?
More calm. Okay. But beautiful beaches. White sand, really clear. We went to Bandera. I don't know how.
You can make it up. We won't know the difference.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And
Ocean City.
Was a few hours away that we went to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, good for you, man.
Thank you.
That is a cool location.
Great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to throw a blog together with some tips, some things that I hadn't heard about. So yeah. Something's going and doing it. And people, you know, I have spoken to people that are offended that we've gone, you know, people with Cuban lineage that have, you know, had awful experiences. And
listen, it's a trip. You took a trip. You went to see another location in the world. Don't worry about it.
It was a place that I wanted to see. I want to see it before there's a Starbucks down there. Yeah. And I got to cross that off my bucket list.
All right. Well, good for you. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you.
Marissa Magnata's Vacation.
Goodbye.
Nice. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Gonna give away Avengers Infinity War on Blu-ray right now, which is available on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray DVD, and on demand starting yesterday. So let's take caller number 12, and I'll set you up with that 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back in a moment. We're gonna have the director and creator of Sharknado.
Forget Cuba.
Anthony C. Ferrante. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh, all right. We have a secret text for today, and it's Dane Cook, who's going to be performing at the Hard Rock, I believe. And you can text the word secret to 39333. We'll have a chance to win those tickets a little bit later on. Yeah, the show is Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. We got a couple of minutes before we're going to get director Anthony Ferrante on Sharknado. Six, the last Sharknado is coming up, and he's the creator of the whole franchise.
Have you been along for any of them?
Have I been along
for any
of
them?
Yeah,
have you
seen any of them? No, I haven't watched any of them. I've seen a clip here and there, but it's just, it's not my style.
Well, this one, Preston, this one involves time travel.
I know. It's going to be.
It does.
It does.
Oh, jeez.
Are there Nazis?
It's just not even realistic.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It's like the first one, which is rooted in science and fact.
We'll get him on in a moment. So we got a little time to talk about some other things. I saw this headline. Let me just read it to you. It says, experts, men have better sex with women who are emotionally unstable.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
What a great thing to encourage.
all you have to do is take advantage of her. It's fine.
Well, I don't know. It's like, not. It's not.
What if they're what if they've been drugged? How about that?
It's not telling you to do that.
Oh my God.
It's just saying. I'm just saying.
This is from the Just Saying Institute.
Yeah, just saying.
There's a statue of a guy with shrugged shoulders up front. Just saying.
By the way, when I said it, Nick gave me a thumbs up.
It's true.
It's true.
It's true.
There may be more of a temporary passion. You know, like,
you're not going for long-term relationships.
Well, it says here across all the couple studies, relationship duration was not linked to the sexual function of the porn site. So this is just.
Yeah,
I'll trade getting knifed in my sleep for the comfort of a nurturing, good long term relationship.
I'm curious if the other side would be the same way. If emotionally unstable men are good sexual partners, I gotta believe it's the exact opposite.
I get chicks, I'm crazy, man.
Yeah,
no, Man, that's a weird precedent to set, though.
Maybe it emotionally. Now, listen, I'm just thinking out loud.
Just saying.
I'm just from the Just Saying Institute. That emotionally unstable women might be a little more sexually adventurous in the bedroom.
Now,
I don't know.
There are certainly grades of instability, right? So you may be talking someone who is. We're probably not talking about the kind of person who is swinging on a rubber tire, hurling their poop at you,
right? So do you want me to read you a little bit about the study and how this was all this information was put together?
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear what the research process was.
For a new study published in the Journal of Sex.
Of Just Say.
No, the Just Saying Institute's Journal of Sex Researcher. Volunteers were interviewed about their sex lives, personality traits, and sexual function.
All right.
They found men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function, while lower agreeableness of a sexual partner was predictive of better sexual function in women.
Well, maybe there's just an intrinsic, innate sense of adventure to not knowing whether the person you're with is going to stick a knife in your face.
I don't know. But it sounds like, did that sound correct that that maybe the women find better sexual? It says men whose partners had less emotional stability reported better sexual function. Oh, the men reported.
All right, I'm having, okay.
Men who are thorough, it says here, in another find, men who are thorough and dutiful may feel the need to satisfy their partner sexually, which may in turn lead to better sexual function of their partners. I don't know what that has to do with
just saying.
Emotionally unstable women. I'm just saying, man.
I don't know. You know, with any of these things, you always have to say, how all encompassing is this information? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, how many people were asked? How representative of it is that of the overall population or, you know, of the global experience? I don't know. Yeah. I tend to. Let me ask you this. Have you been with people who may have been teetering on the edge emotionally?
Sure.
Okay.
Didn't realize it until after the fact. Oh my God, that chick's crazy. No, I had no idea.
As recollection serves you, was it a particularly wonderful experience physically?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Okay. Now, you've been happily married for a long time.
Yeah.
And you have someone who's stable and wonderful.
Rochelle is insane.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wait, and like how?
In all ways. No, she's wonderful and the sex is amazing. No question about that. But looking back on my formative years, my late teens and early 20s when...
you were a slut.
When I was a whore. Mm-hmm. I could see that that might stand out a little bit.
I think a lot of times
a little more adventurous and crazy. That's not to say that I really were like, man, I'd like to do that all the time.
No, it wears. Yes, I know exactly what you mean. It wears thin quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when the evening ends with a tasing.
Yeah,
it's not the best.
Yeah. On another note, and I think
just
we're,
saying,
Is this a new character? Hey, just saying.
Just saying.
The Just Saying Institute.
You know, we're kind of in the noticer category, I guess, which we haven't done. We've been off for a couple of weeks. So
it's
I
time
just
for the that. Noticer.
Yeah.
After a two-week hiatus, he's returned.
Mm-hmm. So not only did I notice that this study about women who are emotionally unstable, you had mentioned tasing, Steve. I noticed a video that you sent me of a new non-lethal weapon for police that they're testing out, and I'm wondering if they, I don't know if they're doing field testing on it yet.
I'd be curious if they're doing it here.
And I forgot the name of it, Steve, but it's a gun that shoots, you guys know what a bolo is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's like a rope or a string with two weighted balls on the end of it. And you would throw it, sometimes three.
Okay.
Yes. And you would throw it and it would entangle someone, entangle their legs or around their neck and so on.
You could snap someone's neck with the larger ones.
Yeah. So they have a gun of sorts, not unlike a taser, that they will shoot and it wraps around the perp's legs.
Like
and,
instantly.
Yeah, and ties them up. It's pretty cool. It's not this that we're...
No.
The world is that?
That's a testicle gun.
We're looking at...
That looks different.
Yeah, that's different. Not the same thing.
No, it's called the like a Spider-Man... it's a new Spider-Man device, if you're looking it up to put it up on the screen. In fact, it will remind you of Spider-Man. It's a very thin, like, monofilament.
Yeah.
And it shoots out, and it wraps around, like, bam!
It looks like Spider-Man's web.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it tangles up their legs. It's pretty cool. I don't know.
And listen, anything you can do to ratchet down a potential horrendous encounter... and control the situation, that's great. A lot of times, you see the stories, Preston, of people getting tased. Here it is, Kathy, look.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh.
Wraps around your legs.
So, and Nick, if you could grab that and just pop that up, just for people to see, or even on social media.
Does that hurt when they do that?
I don't know.
They were doing it on mannequins, so. Yeah.
No, that was actually a living guy there, too, at one point, in one of the videos I saw.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it while somebody's in the process of running.
What I was telling Steve. I think that might be the hard part. It may not work somebody's on the move.
You've seen footage of those of guys getting tased and pulling them out and just keep going.
Some people it doesn't faze. Some people it knocks them out immediately, and some it doesn't faze. So
we did the stun gun in here. We've done it on the show. It's not pleasant, but it's. I didn't find myself incapacitated.
I didn't do it.
I
won't do it.
Yeah.
BB gun hurts.
Yeah. That's enough for me. That's enough for me. I give up.
I give up.
So anyhow, I don't know when they're incorporating or where they're incorporating this thing, but it was kind of cool looking, this less than lethal force. You know what I want to see, though, is from the Running Man, that net that they shoot out.
Yeah.
They have it.
It's got the four-way prongs.
Yes.
That'd be pretty cool.
They use that all the time. Yeah.
They use that all the time.
Yeah, that's like in certain cases, that exists. That's a real deal.
Yeah, never heard of that. Yeah. Wow.
I was just we had video here in the studio of like a gun range.
Yeah.
And do they have targets where it's not the torso, which is like where all the kill shots end up happening? Like, do they have a gun range where you could just aim for the legs? Do you know what I mean?
I
don't know.
There are full silhouette gun ranges.
Okay.
Where you know, if you've ever seen like a tactical range where there's supposed to be people who are innocent bystanders and then there's doors that open up and things like that. Those, in fact, there's a really cool video of Keanu Reeves doing it in preparation for John Wick. Uh-huh. And he's going through
it. He's impressive.
He's damn good, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually saw yesterday a guy running from the cops, which I thought was...
Yeah, that's right. You did. You saw a pursuit.
Yeah. And I mean, at first, it just looked like a guy running across the street. And then this is across the street from the Lawrence Park Shopping Center. I would love to know what was going on because I see this guy run across the street. And then I drive past where I saw him run across the street. And then I just sort of... I looked down this little alleyway that he ran, and I see him jumping a fence into somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
And then I see three cop cars. I'm like, oh, ooh.
Did you jump into the pursuit?
I've
got this, officer.
I got this. Hey, you guys, just chill out. I got this. No, I have
I'm
my
gonna
kid.
Use hidden hands.
Hidden fist. You laugh, Steve.
I will distract you with my hidden fist, and then at the last second, pow!
But I'm interested to see what that was all about. I mean, because there is a bank in that shopping center. I don't know why, you know, there would be three cops with lights on immediately for a shoplifter. I was just really, but it was.
They don't tend to call it shoplifting when you rob a bank.
That's what I'm saying.
Right,
So I'm like, well, maybe he was, you know.
Do you know what, though, to that point, when something's happening like that,
we just are not used to seeing it. We used to seeing it on in TV and movies, but in the real world, when you see something like a dust up like that occur,
yeah,
you're taken aback. You don't know how to process it. Like,
right.
What is this? What's going on?
I got a text from somebody says, are the bad guys getting these harmless weapons too? Funny, the protectors need to de-harm their weapons, but criminals can still harm. But you do realize it's an attempt to protect the public as well.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
You, if an officer accidentally shoots a an innocent person,
yeah,
that can rip them apart.
Yeah. Anything that can help, you know, de-escalate the situation
absolutely.
Without and save lives, that's cool.
Yep. All right, so I noticed that. Steve noticed it and sent it to me, and I re-noticed it.
I noticed it, and then yeah. I sent it to Preston.
Yeah, so I noticed something.
Back from 2 weeks off, yeah. As are we all. Yeah. Marissa went to Cuba.
I noticed there were hundreds of stolen passwords for Netflix, HBO, Hulu, and more discovered for sale on the dark web. But here's my question for you. Please explain the dark web to
thank
me
you.
If someone can. Is it www.darkweb.com, and I just go there?
No, there's...
I mean, what?
You don't want to have it explained to you. You really don't.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're diving into people who are the same ilk as conspiracy theorists.
I mean, I'm just curious. Is it real?
It is real.
Oh yeah.
And there are you are the specifics of how one gets into it. I'm not that familiar with. However,
yeah, like there's got to be a web address.
But there are right. there are right? nefarious things going on within the dark web. And
But my question is this. I mean, is it as simple as spelling www.words, you know, whatever the words may be?
No.
Or is it like, you know.
I think the dark web is a general term that constitutes the more subversive underground.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say here is it just like a series of numbers? And you know what
it
I mean? Like, oh, here, I want to go find a bazooka.
Hang on. It exists on the standard
yes.
information superhighway.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But these are just nefarious sites that you
right.
can go to that have these.
It's the seedier okay. part of the.
I wasn't sure if it meant a wholly other
no.
entity of, you know what I mean? Its own separate.
Like Sun Rocket.
Yeah, like
that's where our all started. Do you, you know what it's like, Preston? It's sort of like having. Bitcoin explained to you. It's sort of like having.
I still don't get that whole thing.
And so because you're never going to really get Bitcoin, you're never going to really get the dark web.
All right. And if it's conspiracy theory stuff, forget
it.
It's
not that.
It's not.
But it's like that.
It's just nut job stuff, in my opinion, personally. Let me go to Derek wants to explain it, though. Hi, Derek. How you doing?
Hey, Gadzooks,
bud. What's up?
So the dark web, they say the dark web is like an iceberg. The regular web is like 10% of what you can mm-hmm. access. Mm-hmm. Dark web's the other 90%.
Okay. And so accessing the dark web, was I correct?
Accessing the dark web, you need its own browser. Like, you go on Internet Explorer or Firefox, any of those, you can't access the true dark web.
Okay.
You have to download what's called an onion browser.
Onion layers.
Why not the parfait layer?
So instead of .com, it's .tor or .onion. It's a completely different application that you reach the dark web.
And I have to imagine that you run substantial risk if you get into this stuff of having things put on your computer and
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. You need to protect yourself. You need VPNs. You need
got
to
wear a condom.
You need all the. Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. You'll definitely be taken for a ride if you don't know what you're doing.
Have you perused these sites?
Oh, there's some horrible stuff on there. You don't stuff will keep you up at night.
Yes, that's what I hear. There are, in fact, that is incredibly troubling. And that you know there are law enforcement groups that end up perusing it to hunt down. You know,
well,
people.
Immediately my mind goes to,
child porn
and things
like
that.
Yeah.
So that's.
Well, there's also a lot of it is scamming people. There's a site where there's somebody claiming to have access to, you know, the Federal Reserve and they're pulling money out and people will send them Bitcoin thinking that they're going to get real money and they just get really ripped off. So
okay.
There's a lot of different things on there. There's just art.
Do they have a version of Etsy?
Yeah, like crafty stuff.
Crafty
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
You know, conspiracy theory craft stuff.
Right. All right. Well, that That's kind of a thank you. You at least got me in the ballpark, Derek. Yeah. I really don't want to go down any further than that. Thanks so much.
But I mean, like stuff that's just troubling, you're going to find it there.
Yeah, I don't need that. I'm just happy as a clam, just watching YouTube videos.
And you can find clam porn on it too. Oh, yeah.
God, that's horrible.
It's disgusting. Yeah.
I mean, I watched a guy walk into a sliding door over and over and over again, and that made me very happy. Yesterday.
No, I've heard the term dark web many times, but have never ever taken the moment to go, what is that really? What is that?
I mean, I'm happy with good old conventional pornography.
Yeah, standard.
Like our parents grew up on.
Yeah, the first time I ever even heard of dark web was on It's Always Sunny, and they bought a bazooka on the dark web.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay, nice. All right, well, listen, I want to move along. And for all we know, on the dark web, there could be people stating that that Sharknado is real and that it really happened.
Oh, it's very real.
And continues to happen. But it certainly is a successful franchise, and the sixth version of it is coming up. And it claims to be the last.
We'll have to find out if it is.
Sharknado 6, The Last Sharknado, It's About Time is the official name. And it's Sunday, August 19th. Steve, you love these movies.
I do. You know what? And we're going to I'm going to laud this gentleman when we talk to him. But yeah. I love the series.
Yep. He is the director, not only the director, but the creator of Sharknado. Please welcome Anthony C. Ferrante.
Yeah.
To our program. Hey, Anthony. How you doing, man?
I am doing amazing. I'm still awake. We were at the office last night trying to finish the film. So it's
on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. And we're still not done.
Let me tell you something. God. If I were to hear that you were done and all wrapped up, it would really take some of the luster off. Because the thing that makes these movies so wonderful is the guerrilla style of filmmaking. If you had a $400 million budget, it just wouldn't be the same. And Anthony, right from the get-go, so I really love the first Sharknado, and there's a production company that used to exist called Troma, and Troma would do these purposefully bad movies. Now that can go break either way. It can become annoying because they're trying too hard, but there's such a genuine zeal to the Sharknado movies. There's so many different things at play. Did it take you a while to kind of figure out where you wanted it to go and how you wanted it to be in tone? Or did right from the get-go, did you say, this is what it's going to be?
You know, basically, we set out to make a movie. I mean, we knew we were making a ridiculous idea of a film, but we decided to play it straight.
Yeah.
And it was always about the characters. There's a couple rules I had with the first film.
Do tell.
One of them was, I have no scientists, no military, none of that. It needed to be a normal person thrown into the situation, which was Ian Ziering's Finn character. And it became about family. The other is that we never explain, you know, why these Sharknados existed. And even if we do explain it, we have a reason why they're just a natural disaster. So we adhere to that, even though we've hinted and teased at things like in the last movie, they've been around since prehistoric times. And we completely undo that in the sixth movie purposely and planned. But I think also is that we just love this. There's a lot of movies that, where you could tell filmmakers are just kind of, embarrassed by it or this or that. I love the title from the beginning. I love the concept, and I love the freedom that once people get over the fact that they're not sharks and they're not tornadoes, it's a Sharknado, and that's our villain. And because we've created this villain, we could do whatever we want. It could take down a plane. It could go into space.
Yes.
That's liberating. You know, we have Tara Reeves' severed robotic head being a huge plot point that drives narrative travel.
Let me explain to people.
Dinosaur.
Yeah, there's a point where Tara Reid has become basically a cyborg on the order of Iron Man, at least. And all of this in the context of the Sharknado universe, yeah, that makes sense.
Well, and that's the beauty of it, is that we have created a mythology, so we have earned that right to do what we want with it. And I think, again, it's grounded in the sense that the characters, the lead characters, are playing it straight. There's a sincerity in that. And when you ask about the style of filmmaking, again, if you set out to go, we're just going to be ridiculous to be ridiculous, or we're purposely trying to be trauma or this. No, there's a genuineness to it. There's energy of desperation with a low budget to make these things work. and there's not a contempt for it. You know, it's not, it, you know, camp is a movie where everybody's in on the joke. You know, like Rocky Horror, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Everybody in that movie is obviously camping it up. We're acting as if we're making, you know, an earthquake film or Jaws, and
yeah.
Everybody is just like, oh my gosh, there's a shark. Oh my gosh, it's an earthquake. Oh my gosh, there's Tara's robotic head.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, and that's the joy of it. Also, you always have a conga line of celebrity cameos. Anybody that, of note that we want to look for in this Sunday's premiere?
Daryl Hammond plays George Washington doing Clinton as Washington.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Probably one of the most awesome things ever in the history of awesomeness. And Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I don't know how he – I think he just probably wandered in the studio. Plays Merlin.
That plays Merlin. So for people who don't know, by the way, the Sharknado creates a powerful sort of, I guess, time shift. That so there are Nazis. In fact, isn't there a don't we see Noah and the Ark in this as well?
That actually was an early draft.
Okay,
there's a tease of some kind of Nazi, but no Nazis in Noah's Ark. They didn't make the cut.
They didn't make it. Okay,
but you know, at the end of the last movie, Ian Ziering destroyed the world trying to save it.
Yes.
And is the last man on Earth. And his son, who's now fully grown, basically, we got to go back in time. They get in the Humvee, and they end up in prehistoric time. And essentially from there, it's like they have to rectify all the stuff that they screwed up, you know, in the last five movies.
So they're looking to go back actually before even the first Sharknado and correct everything and stop it ever from getting into motion?
Yeah, well, part of it is that their son got sucked into this time-nado toward the end of the last movie.
Time-nado, yeah.
He basically, in order to try to find a way home, ended up leaving these Sharknados behind, and now they have to go back and clean it up.
Do you know what's great, Anthony? The whole thing of you as the writer and director and all of this, you never have to say, you never have to utter the words, that could never happen. Everything can happen, and that's got to be incredibly liberating.
Well, it is also, you know, every time we come up with something, you know, and it's rejected for one movie, it comes back. In the fourth movie, I wanted to do the Sharknado Sisterhood, which is like Nova's group of Sharknado fighters.
Right.
And it got rejected, but one of the characters I knew was part of the Sisterhood, and in the fifth movie, we have the Sisterhood, and I paid that off. And there was something I really wanted to do in Sharknado 5 that had to do with Tara Reid. And it got rejected at the time, and we get to do it in this film. And all I'll just say is that just imagine that there are more than one version of her, and it's pretty crazy.
This is this is very cool. This is becoming, and I kid you not, like I'll lay in some you know, like it's almost like a Super Bowl event. You know, I'll get some special food, and my wife and I will watch. Now we've had Sharknado, we had Sharknado 2, the second one, Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No, Sharknado 4, The Fourth Awakens. Sharknado 5, Global Swarming. And then this one, It's About Time, and this is billed as the final Sharknado. I'm not buying it. Can you give an indication, or are you going to stay mum on this?
I lived through two final Friday the 13th. I know that people are looking at it jadedly.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is the sixth film. What we started in the first movie, at the end of this film, we definitively end the story, and it's over, and we have a button. And so
I got you.
The same director and the same cast. Like, if this hobbled along to the number 10, you know, we go to 10, and Hervé Villechaize is Finn, you know, and then we're going to wrap it up, and Hervé Villechaize gets up there and goes, it's been a great run. 10 movies in, and it just isn't going to feel right because that's not, you know, fit.
I tell you what, you have a gem in Ian Ziering, because he's right tonally where he needs to be. Tara Reid, for all her Tara Reidness, is awesome. Who plays Claudia? What's that actress's name?
Ryan Newman, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's great. You know, we were blessed with a great cast. I mean, I think probably the biggest omission in the film is David Hasselhoff not being in the film.
It was a scheduling thing, but his presence is throughout. And
okay.
So, you know, we bring back a lot of people that you don't expect because it's time travel.
Yeah.
We had a chance of people that got killed could come back because we have time travel as a justification. So Vivica Fox is back as Sky.
Awesome.
From Sharknado 2.
Yeah.
And then Judah Friedlander, who played Brian in part 2, he comes back and literally steals the show. He's so funny. He has one of my favorite lines. We ad-libbed this on the set. He's trying to explain to Finn about time travel. He goes, sometimes you're there. Sometimes it's a funny thing about time travel. Sometimes you're here. Sometimes you're there. Sometimes you're stuck in 1955 and your mom's trying to make out with you in the Enchantment of the Sea Dam.
I like it. Brilliant.
Judah is so funny in this movie.
Well, yeah. Love the stuff you do. You've done a whole bunch of other fun horror movies that I've enjoyed, like The Headless Horseman, and you had Scream of the Banshee and some other stuff. And you obviously love this realm. And it's cool to have you making these things because this is a fun part of the genre.
And do you get to make a cameo yourself in any of these films? Have you or will you?
Yeah, I weirdly all six movies I'm in there. And the first movie it was by default, and it's sort of become a thing where, you know, we need someone to do this, so I ended up being the head of NASA in number 3 because we had nobody. We had a crew of 6 people, and the line producer couldn't do it, and everybody else was working. So it's like, okay, I guess I'm the head of NASA.
All right.
And this one, there was a plan, though, because we have a band called Quint, where we did the theme songs of the first movie, and we've done a lot of the songs.
Yeah, yeah.
The film. And so we said, okay, we're doing 1950s. We need to be a 1950s beach band. And so we wrote a song called Do the Shark, and we're the band in the film.
Do the
and
Shark.
That was so much fun.
That's great.
They are a lot of fun. If you just turn yourself over to them, you now technically have enough time to catch up. And in fact, it's been a whole shark fest on Sci-Fi leading up to it. So, and they're...
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
You know, one of the things, someone told me this first movie when we went to Comic-Con, and I always remember this. This woman came up to me and said, thank you for making Sharknado. I've seen it 3 times. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
I think with everything going on in the world,
yeah,
the movie isn't trying to do anything but entertain and make you smile. And, you know, you get your family together. People have parties. And it's the Super Bowl of sci-fi.
Yes, I agree.
Every year. And so, you know, it's nice to be able to contribute something positive and something where you can turn off your brain for 2 hours and just go, oh, yeah, the dinosaur's running around with Tara's severed head. That's, I guess that's normal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
Well, we're down completely with it. Looking forward to it. It's on Sunday. And, again, Sci-Fi's running a lot of them, you know, in anticipation of. So, you know, keep at it, man. And when the eventual reboot comes, we'll have you back on.
That sounds great. Thank you guys so much for the support.
You bet, man. Anthony Cifarante, guys, is here from Sharknado, as Steve said, on Sunday at 8 p.m. on Sci-Fi. Casey's got a piece.
Oh, my God, so bad.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This summer. Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
Bitch Box event is coming up part 2.
Yes.
Huge success last time we did this. How long ago did we do the first one? It was like 2-3 years ago?
No, it was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, yeah.
God, my memory sucks.
Know,
well,
right?
what happened was that so many people have been asking about it that it seems like it was longer, but mm-hmm. it was a huge hit right out of the gate. Yeah. I still get asked for that first bitch box. I'm like, they're gone.
I know, yeah.
This is the we came up with this idea when we first heard about the birch box, and we're like, well, we've got to do the bitch box. And so Kathy put this together, and I would like to give away 2 passes to join, actually 2 sets of passes. For some ladies to join us. Female only. It's a week from Thursday, a week from tomorrow, and we are headed to Harrah's, Philadelphia. I'll take callers 20 and 21 at 215-263-WMMR. There are two things that you need to know that will that will qualify you for the box. You have to be at least 21. You got to be female. And you have to be present at the event in order to get the box. You can't call in and win and then pick the box up later on. You got to go to the event that night.
Yep.
And it's, like I said, ladies only. So if you bring a guest, they have to be female as well, because it's also a Preston Steve sorority party, Zeta Eta Pi style.
Yeah, we have our own sorority. Mm-hmm. No actual sorority in the area would accept a couple of guys. So we created our own. So we're the only guys in it. And it's the coolest sorority in Philadelphia. The world.
The universe.
Your first drink is free, and it's a happy hour buffet as well. So callers 20 and 21, 215-263-WMMR. It looks like you've started to post a few sneak peeks on our social media, Kathy.
Yeah, a little sneak peek of what's in there.
Okay, but this is all hand-chosen by Kath and got rave reviews last year, so call now. And it's from Harrah's, Philadelphia. Sign up now for a total rewards card and receive over $250 in offers. And you can take Exit 8 on I-95, Harrah's, Philadelphia. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this is brought to you by CF Logistics, LLC. CF Logistics, LLC is expanding its fleet, and they're looking for professional drivers to join their family-owned company. Apply today at cflogisticsllc.com. That's cflogisticsllc.com. Well, the stench of urine in the streets has long been one of the annoyances of life in Paris.
Yes.
But new urinals that expose users to public view have shocked many residents. I mean, they're just right out there in the open.
It's the weirdest looking thing.
The French often joke about being less prudish than Brits, but even permissive Parisians have taken exception to open urinals installed on pavements with nothing to screen users from passersby.
This boy.
One model installed at the ultra-chic Ile Saint-Louis, one of the city's most select quarters, has caused particular indignation. The island in the Seine, normally a haven of relatively calm in the heart of Paris, has become an unlikely hotbed of protest.
His boy.
Residents and shopkeepers have written to the mayor demanding the urinal's immediate removal and say they are about to launch a petition. The urinal is environmentally friendly, by the way, according to its manufacturer, the Faltazi Design Agency, because it stores urine in a bed of dry material, straw, which is then used as compost for the flowers. The straw reduces odor and eliminates the need for the urinal to be connected to the sewer. Four minimalist urinals installed in Paris in the past 6 months have drawn similar reactions from the public. A fifth is planned for next week. So you just pee right out in the open.
When they start moving on to leur dump, that's when it's going to get ugly.
Leur dump.
I don't mind the idea. I really don't. The design is a little weird. It looks like you're pissing into a
mailbox
garbage can. I think they need wings or you know, partitions a little bit better.
Divider. Yeah, I got you. A little bit more for privacy, as they say.
But they're going for it. Colorado Mesa University is issuing two diplomas for the price of one. The catch is the first one was signed by the chair of CMU's Board of Trustees. The embarrassing typo lingered in the bottom left corner of nearly 9,200 diplomas for 6 years until outgoing school newspaper editor Alec Williams caught it this month.
Wow.
Williams was looking at a photo of a past graduate's diploma online. At first, he said that he wasn't sure what he saw, if it was actually a mistake or just part of the classic Old English font that's used on diplomas. The university has already created a website to fulfill diploma requests with the goal of having each diploma reprinted and mailed out within 2 days. And apparently it says, it's signed by the chair of CMU's Board of Trustees instead
of the board.
It's C-O-A-R-D. Huh. Of trustees.
And just below that, it's co-signed by Julie Jerkoff.
Which is interesting, because on a quick glance,
it looks like board.
It might be I might take that as a calligraphic B.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They've already created a website to fulfill diploma requests with the goal of having each diploma reprinted and mailed out within 2 days. Each reissued diploma will cost the university about $5, so it could be a little bit expensive if everybody wants to get on board, but you don't have to.
Come on.
You don't want to. Exactly. A video showing a man taking a shower in a car wash has gone viral online.
Why not?
And by that, I mean it's like right at the front of the car wash where he's first going in. He's totally naked with his ass hanging out. Melo Harris posted the footage to Facebook on Saturday, which she filmed as she drove past the vehicle cleaning facility at a local gas station. The man can be seen bending forward over the hood of a car completely naked. Loud yells can be heard as his bare body is pelted by the large rotating brushes. Mrs. Harris can be heard saying, "Only in Rotorua, you're on crack. What an effing idiot." The video has been viewed more than 500,000 times and has been shared more than 5,000. Ms. Harris said that according to comments on the clip, the man may have been dared to take a shower in the car wash and was simply following orders.
You will remember, Case, we strapped you to the hood of a car.
Yes, we did.
Drove you through twice through a drive-through. What was that like?
It was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was a soft brush, so okay, nothing hurt or anything like that. But do you recall who was being interviewed in the studio at the time?
Who?
It was Pete Yorn.
Pete Yorn.
The musician.
Pete Yorn and you going through a car wash.
That's funny. A giant floating unicorn with rainbow-colored wings was not able to fly free of the weeds Saturday, leaving its four passengers stranded offshore in a Chicago County lake. It's a Shisago County lake, not Chicago.
Not Chicago.
Fortunately, the Shisago County Sheriff's Office had a squad car in the area. The deputies spotted the horn and the dilemma. The officer said, "We observed a bunch of women in a rainbow unicorn stuck in the weeds." The sheriff's office reported it in a Saturday evening tweet using emojis from the rainbow for the rainbow and unicorn. The tweet included a video of the not particularly dramatic rescue. Deputy Scotty Finnegan tosses a rope to the woman, barely able to contain her laughter. And they hold on as he pulled him into a dock. We have a giant unicorn float. They're all the rage right now. Yeah. So, but they
got not this big, right?
Yeah, it's about that big.
Holy crap! Yeah, it's huge.
Didn't we have that at the Kenan's 2 years ago?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're pretty prevalent now. And then we'll do one more story and wrap it up. Let's end with this one. A four-year-old girl appears to take her dad's smartphone and throw it into the ocean because he's spending too much time on it. This is a video. Rapper Tamati was speaking on his phone on a yacht while daughter Elisa tried to get his attention. She then takes the phone out of his hand, turns around, and then throws it into the ocean before he can react.
Why, you precocious little bitch.
Some have described her as being a spoiled brat, while others have said that he should pay more attention to his daughter. A third group of people, though, believe that the video was staged, and it's not the daughter who's the attention seeker, but the Russian rapper.
It looks that way, doesn't it?
He jumped into the water to try to retrieve it, and the whole scene just happened to be caught on camera. Tamati has now shared the footage on Instagram, leading to a split opinion about what really happened there. Some viewers blame the little girl's parents for not bringing her up to be more respectful, and others think, of course, that the clip was staged.
What? Why did you throw my phone into the water?
And that is what I have for you in the bizarre file. Let's do this secret text word thing, Kathy. You got a number caller for our tickets?
Sure, 15.
Call number 15, 215-263-WMMR. You need to know the secret text word in order to win. We'll come back in a second, see if we can get ourselves a winner. We'll grab a random texter, so two ways to get a freebie here. Back in just a moment with more. Stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
We are the Preston and Steve Show. Back into the swing of things on a Wednesday morning, returning from vacation. And many things to get to through the next few weeks. And I just want to focus on what's going on right now, though, because we had a secret text word this morning. Chance went to see Dane Cook, and we had asked you to text in through the course of the morning, and we were sending back a word to you, and we were looking for caller number 15 to identify that word and win the prize. So I'm going to go to Kyle, because Kyle happens to be the 15th caller. Good morning to you, Kyle.
Nanapuyat
to you.
Nanapuyat.
What is the secret text word, please?
The secret text word is dragon.
Dragon! You're correct, buddy. Hang on just a second, Kyle. We are going to give you some tickets to see Dane Cook Friday, September 7th at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Tickets are on sale now. Ticketmaster.com. We're going to give that same prize to Chad Miller, who is from the Limerick area. And we will take care of business, Chad, and we will give you the exact same thing. So congratulations, and we'll get that out to you. By the way, speaking of Nana Puya, every now and then I get something from the show stuck in my head over the course of several days. And a lot of times it plays out when I'm playing golf, because you'll have a stretch of hours where it's fairly quiet and your mind kind of has time.
When I'm hiking, the same thing happens. You're by yourself, and if you get something locked, like an earworm or something, you can't shake it.
And not that long ago, it was Nana Puya. And
Nana Puya.
You know, did you sing it?
No. Just you'd hit a great shot and it'd be like, Nana Puya.
Yeah.
For a short time, it was Hom-Yonkle.
Hom-Yonkle. Yes.
And I hit a really good drive, go right down the middle of the fairway, and just, oh, that's a Hom-Yonkle, baby. It's just gibberish.
Oh, it's like, you know, I'm sure you share like a sort of second language with Rochelle. You know, like you start to. And we have a show second language, and I'm sure a lot of times people are like, what the hell are they talking about?
That happened like a month or two ago, the Nana Puya, and people have asked me what the origin is. I don't even remember. I think I was trying to say no, yes, and it came out like that or something.
Yeah. But it sounds like a Samoan, a legitimate word, like that's... You know, like a like a battle cry.
Right.
Did you see that email that came in? I don't know if it came to all of us or just me and you, Preston, over when we were on vacation. An email came in. Somebody was in like a YouTube, going through all the videos and found the car crash video. And you and I are talking on the radio in one of the car crash videos.
I didn't see this.
It's like a cam from inside of a car.
It's messed up.
It's messed up.
Meaning it was a bad accident or?
Something happened, but he crashed and the video turns off, but right before it, we're on the radio in the car.
I need to see that.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it still.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Nana Puya.
Nana Puya, everybody.
Nana Puya.
Nana Puya.
Okay. So moving on, we're going to do our lesson question for today, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Miriam Theater on Sunday, September 23rd. The question that I have for you this morning is, which research institute do we like to listen to? We did a couple of stories, and we said that it was from this particular institute, and it was a little after 9 o'clock, so not that long ago if you were listening. 215-263-WMMR, which research institute do we like to listen to? It was said on the air. We made it up just a little while ago, so don't guess. And let's do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel your summer with iced coffee from Dunkin' Donuts starting at $2. America runs on Dunkin'. Excludes cold brew plus applicable taxes. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. What's going on, Steve?
Well, former Tour de France winner Jan Ulrich was arrested in Germany after officials say the cyclist beat up a hooker in Frankfurt. said Ulrich, quote, "I guess we're doing away with the traditional years after you win the Tour de France hooker beating." Coolio's airport gun bust is officially behind him after a judge released him from the rest of his 3-year probation. The L.A. County judge issued the waiver saying, quote, "Let's face it, when it comes to being a menace to society, Coolio is the Coolio of rappers."
Oh, my God.
And finally, Brad Pitt is furious that estranged wife Angelina Jolie is hashing out the financial specifics of their divorce in public and in front of their children. Pitt says he feels this is, quote, "no way to treat our 5 to 10 kids." And that's your Hollywood Track.
All right, we will see if someone knows the answer to the question, which research institute do we listen to? And that caller just might be Eddie. We're going to find out. Hey, Eddie, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great. Eddie, which research institute do we like to listen to?
That is the Just Sayin' Institute.
The Just Sayin' Institute. Yes.
Yeah.
One moment, Eddie. Get the info, and we will set you up with the tickets to see Hasan Minhaj at the Miriam Theater on Sunday, September 23rd at 10 p.m. 7 p.m. show is sold out. You can get tickets for the 10 p.m. show at Ticketmaster.com. Music news, ready to go for this. Here it is.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the f*** is this?
All right, it's brought to you this morning by Monster Mania. Monster Mania Con 40 is coming August 17th to the 19th. And you can see Justin Long, Freddie himself, Mr. Robert Englund, Carl Weathers, and more. Tickets available at the door. Monstermania.net for information. Marissa, I'm going to do a story in this music news. I know Steve sent you the video, but didn't ask you to grab the audio. But we had mentioned Steve Perry has some new music coming. Is it over already?
Yep.
All right, I'll get to that in a moment. I just want to make sure that we had that. I didn't see it over there. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
We'll go with this first, though. Slash has given his first major interview since reuniting in the group, of course, Guns N' Roses, with Axl and Duff McKagan. Although the legendary Axeman was reticent to speak in depth about how the reunion came together after nearly 20 years of estrangement between him and Axl, asked about how the two finally mended their relationship, Slash replied, "I'd just rather not get into it." He said, "Because at this point, it's like Guns N' Roses is, and that's basically all there really needs to be said. I don't like to get into the dynamics of how, because it always gets misconstrued." Asked if he was worried about screwing up a good situation by saying too much. He countered by saying, "I'm not worrying about effing it up. It's been really a wonderful experience, and I've been having a really great time with it, and everybody's been getting along, and the fans have been amazing."
As with all great rock and roll reunion stories, it began with an ice cream social, Preston.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Slash also said, "I'm not lighting that fuse," when asked about the possibility of making new Guns music, saying, "If something happens, then it happens." He also declined to go into detail about why founding guitarist Izzy Stradlin was not part of the reunion, saying, "I'm not going to go anywhere near that. I thought what he had to say about it, from what I saw," he said, "I didn't really read the whole thing, but the basic come away I thought was well handled."
Very informative interview.
He was saying that Izzy was saying that he wasn't going to be paid enough.
That was it, right?
Basically, they were shorting him a lot. And
yeah.
Slash says that, yeah, he thought I thought it was well handled. So anyhow, it's the first time he's really spoken out since that band got back together. Bad Wolves singer Tommy Vext will be honored next month at the third annual Rock to Recovery concert and award ceremony set to take place on September 15th at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood, California. Former Seven Dust guitarist and Rock to Recovery program administrator Sonny Mayo said about Vext in a statement, "After hitting bottom with drugs and alcohol in early 2009, Tommy dedicated himself to a life of sobriety. This new approach to life reinvigorated the passion of his craft and paved the way for a whole new experience as an artist and a sober man." Mayo continued by saying, "Tommy has devoted himself to carrying a message of hope and support to others who struggle with alcoholism and addiction. Tommy started a successful sober campaign, companion business in 2014, founded a nonprofit organization to help addicts and alcoholics find treatment. For his continued willingness and action toward helping others, Tommy is the recipient of the 2018 Rock to Recovery 3 Service Award."
I always think that has to be a little extra added difficulty if your livelihood puts you around people who are drinking all the time at concerts, and you're out there with all that around you. That's the world you live in, and having to deal with your sobriety.
Tommy said, "To me, R2R exemplifies the recovery service and unity aspects that make our fellowship so powerful. Much of my own endeavors to be of service work have been guided and inspired by these men and what they've done for so many others who came before." He will be saluted alongside the night's other honoree, Moby, who is receiving the organization's Icon Award.
I think I'll leave early.
Past Rock to Recovery honorees include Stone Sour's Corey Taylor, the MC5's Wayne Kramer, and Mike Ness from Social Distortion. The concert portion of the event will feature Steel Panther, along with the Rock to Recovery band, which includes members of Korn, Seven Dust, Snot, and others.
Ladies and gentlemen, Snot.
As well as other surprise guests. So, Snot will be there.
Splooge.
You roll all over and let Uncle Clark shat your belly.
A poster of Pearl Jam's show in Missoula, Montana on Monday has created wide controversy due to its depiction of Donald Trump's death and the White House in flames. The piece is a collaboration between bassist Jeff Ament and artist Bobby Draws Skulls. That's the guy's name, Bobby Draws Skulls.
Isn't he in Snot?
I don't know. He might be. The poster was created for a concert Pearl Jam played in Missoula to raise funds for the reelection of Senator John Tester, who's also depicted on the poster. A spokesperson for Tester's Republican opponent, Matt Rosendale, called the poster, quote, reprehensible. And then here's the piece of audio I wanted to play for you. The long-awaited new album from former Journey frontman Steve Perry is going to be called Traces and is set for release on October 5th. The album popped up on a now-taken-down Amazon site, but the website Ultimate Classic Rock posted both the cover artwork and track listing. And we have what, Casey?
Is this somebody you would like to talk to, Steve Perry?
Absolutely.
You know, Jim McGoohan was hanging out with him the other day, right?
No, I did not know.
Our old boss? Yeah. So I'll reach out to him and see if he's available.
Okay. But here's a clip of the song, which is called No Erasin', which is when they grabbed audio. It's definitely got an adult contemporary feel to it.
It does. It is clearly.
It reminds me a little bit in its production quality of Journey's Raised on Radio album, if you remember.
Yes. Yeah.
Big vocals and kind of a, you know, not a rock per se record. But listen to a little bit. His voice is still there, man. Still there.
And wasn't that the issue, that he felt his voice was not up to snuff?
He was sick. He had a couple of things going on. But he sounds great. So.
It's been a long time coming since I saw your face. It's been so long since we're together in the backseat of your car. Ooh, oh, you used to be my girl. Hold me close, cause I remember. How could I forget? No erasing.
I love his voice, man.
Yeah, it makes you want to hear him sing Journey stuff.
It does, man. But Casey, I thought of you because I couldn't help but thinking, you know, that song is called No Erasin', and I just kept thinking of Dumb and Dumber of No Erasies. No Erasies. You can't triple stamp a double stamp.
Touch blue to make it true.
It's one of those songs that just you kind of put the words in the jar and shake it up, and there you go.
He's one of my all-time favorite voices. He's got, you know, I mean, there are several different styles of rock singers, and he had what I would consider to be like a beautiful rock voice. You know, a very smooth and you know, his vibrato is very pronounced, and you know, his tone is perfect, and I've just always been a fan. I love Journey. They're one of my favorite bands. The album marks Perry's first new solo set since 1994's For the Love of Strange Medicine. So we'll see where he goes with that, if that reinvigorates
his career. Interesting, yep.
I would love to see him, you know, sing with Journey again. That'd be cool. But then again, the guy who's replaced him in Journey seems like a real likable guy, too, and I'd hate to see him be out of
I
the
know,
job,
but as
know?
Nick says, didn't you say, Nick, that it's
it doesn't fit?
It's just
it
weird.
Doesn't, no, yeah. It's sort of become a tribute band to Journey. And Neil Sean and
Jonathan Cain
are great musicians, certainly, but they are also caricatures at this point. So I don't mean to disparage if you're a Journey fan.
I know what you mean.
But I think they just sold out, by the way, Fenway last week or the week before. They're touring with Def Leppard right now. And I thought that was a pretty big venue for them, but I saw some online reviews and people were raving about the show. So if it's your cup of tea, it's your cup of tea.
Nice. All right. So that's it for Music News. Let's take a break.
Wow.
Come back in a second. We'll do the letter.
Wow.
We'll do the letter of the day for the word of the week prize when we get back. Make sure you stay with us.
WMMR's live stream. Our daily programming available anytime, anywhere on your desktop, tablet, smartphone, or open the new MMR skill with Alexa. Great sound quality and the occasional bonus song. Nice.
Not anymore of that rain, man. At least for a couple days. We're getting a little break from it. Partly cloudy skies today. Still high in the temps, 90, 92 tomorrow. The only rain that I see in the forecast as of now looks like Friday, maybe an evening thunder shower. We'll keep an eye on that. And then your Saturday looks clear as of now. But the way it's been going lately, it changes at any given moment. So we will have to see how this plays out. 10:32 on a Wednesday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. And let me see. Thank yous are in order. Thank you very much to director and creator Anthony C. Ferrante, who's on.
Yeah,
he was really cool. Sharknado franchise. That's his baby. He made it up.
Yes.
And six movies in. The last one is called Sharknado 6, The Last Sharknado, It's About Time. And that's going to be on Sunday on Sci-Fi, and that will be at 8 p.m. And
so I'll be watching.
Interesting things taking place, he said, in it. Neil deGrasse Tyson makes a cameo in this one.
And Daryl Hammond as George Washington by way of Bill Clinton.
Some kind of weird thing that he said has to be seen to be believed. So anyhow, and thank you also to the submissions for our caravan that we're going to do tomorrow morning with Dunkin' Donuts. It is the cooling caravan. And Nick got all the submissions we need, and we'll take a look and we'll see what makes sense as far as locations to get out and have the caravan come by and cool people off a little bit to start their day with Dunkin' Donuts and their iced coffees. So that'll be tomorrow morning. We'll be doing that, right? Tomorrow?
Yep, yes, tomorrow. Yeah.
Brent Porsche is here.
Hey. Good morning, everybody.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you very much. How is it? We haven't been outside since, 4:30 this morning. What's it like out?
Warm. Not bad.
Is it a little warm?
It's not sweltering just yet, but you can feel it's coming.
That humidity is sticking around? Yeah, of course it is.
I freaking hate it.
Well, listen, you're the keeper of the letter for the word of the week. Ready?
Yeah, let's
Here
do
we
it.
Go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter N, as in Nana Puya.
Yeah.
Nana Puya.
I love it. Let's see. We are going to be giving away a pair of front row tickets and free parking to see Sebastian Maniscalco Thursday, September 13th, which will be at Wells Fargo Center. And this is the second leg of his record-breaking international Stay Hungry tour, named after his new national best-selling book. Tickets are on sale now at Wells Fargo Center, Philly. com. Sure you got some workforce blocks coming up today.
Yeah, big show in town tonight with Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Ben and Nothing More and Bad Wolves over at BB&T. So we're going to be doing big workforce blocks at Five Finger and Breaking Ben, and we're going to round it out with a little bit of blues and Stevie Ray Vaughan today.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yep.
Nice. I love Stevie Ray Vaughan. So that's coming up with Brent. I want to thank the sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. Today's program is brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Plus, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Tomorrow, wow, am I reading this correctly?
Yeah.
Our old friend John Dornbos is going to be in the studio. We haven't seen John in quite some time.
It's been a while.
So we'll have him in the studio.
Should have his Super Bowl ring, right? They gave him one.
I don't know if he'll bring it with him, but he was getting one. And we'll have a Not Your Average Listener tomorrow morning. Is this the one that you emailed me a little while back? And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting one tomorrow. They're all interesting, but this I had never heard of.
Okay.
So we'll have
that. Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll have those pipples in tomorrow morning. So that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. See you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you live.
Well, here we are, almost at the end of summer, and I haven't been able to get down to my Sure have, because of the rain.
Yes! Next message.
On a Sprig and Benjamin tonight with my best friend.
Next message.
I just had to pay a $121 fine for not having a dog license. A dog license! Welcome to Pennsylvania!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.